Tampa back on World Championship Wrestling. A lot of talk from Jim Cornette about this man, the United States Heavyweight Champion, Dusty Rhodes, who's in the finals of the Buckhouse Stampede.
Well, 1988's big year for Jim Crockett Promotion Wrestling throughout this country. Everybody's got me laid away, you know what I mean? Jim Cornette come out here, talk about my family, talk about my mama, talk about my sister, talk about me being a redneck. He forgot to talk about one thing real bad, is Dusty Rhodes is the United States Heavyweight Champion. Committed in 1988 on defending that United States Heavyweight belt all over this country. Now he jump on my super partner, Nikita Koloff. Well, the Midnight Express are a fine team. You know what I'm talking about? That's good. But they're jumping on the wrong people. And now Bounty's be coming from all over the country. On the 23rd in the Lakeland Civic Center, there's been a man paid $50,000 to take Dusty Rhodes out of wrestling. Everybody, you know, everybody talks a lot. You know, opinions are like honey. You know what I mean? Everybody's got one. Everybody's got one. But my opinion is Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream in 1988 is going to be my finest year. And let me throw this into the hat, too. Being the United States Heavyweight Champion means one thing, baby. That means I'm in line for the world's heavyweight title. And I haven't mentioned Ric Flair for months and months, because he has some real bad problems right now. And the problems in that hand is now Dusty Rhodes telling Ric Flair that now, did in 1988, if it is my final triumphant tour, if it is Dusty Rhodes, fuck it like a monkey, really get down to it, then I'm looking for you too, baby. I'm looking for you. So make all them words. And Jim Cornette, you know, when I look at you, when I look at Jim Cornette, I see a real, if you will, feminine person. And when Dusty Rhodes goes out with the boys, I go out and have a little hooch, and we go chasing women. When Jim Cornette goes out with the boys, well, I tell you, when he goes out with the boys, I'd hate to see what's happening, you know what I mean? So don't be talking about my sister, because my sister is 6'2", 250 pounds, and she'll jerk your neck off and ram a foot down your throat. So the Midnight Express now have to deal with Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, and Nikita Koloff in 1988. And the Nassau Coliseum, I plan on winning $500,000. I am the Bull of the Woods. I am the Bull of the Woods. And baby, 88's gonna be good to the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and wrestling in general. And when it's all over, Jim Cornette, go ask your mama. Say, mama, I've been stripped of all my clothes. Where'd I put my bra, baby?
This is J.J. Dillon, the leader of the original Four Horsemen, and you're listening to Phil J. and that pain-in-the-ass choppy on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Ooh, yeah!
Warrior, try
Rush is awful.
You're awful.
This song is fucking shit. The drummer? Okay, I feel bad. Maybe a little. You know what? I do feel bad.
Oh, man. Here we go.
God,
here
what a heel.
This fucking band is awful.
You don't like Rush, Chop?
You know what's good about Rush? What? Makes me want to rush to the bathroom and take a dump.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an angry episode of the Turnbuckle Throwback Show.
He's not even cold in the ground yet, Choppy. And you're already cutting promos
died, like,
on him?
The dude died like 5 hours ago.
You see this face?
His face that doesn't care?
You see the number that I'm holding up right now?
Yeah.
It's called Zero Fucks. God forgive me.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Well, you know.
Hello, everybody. We're live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network, part of Dark Satellite Media. I am Phil.
I'll be Jay.
And I'll be Choppy. Oh, please.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
We got to work on that.
Yeah, we got to work
put
on
that on the list.
What's up, Mr. Rob Domingo from Japan?
Hey!
From Japan.
Former FTW champion John Rage Lesser's in the room. Hey, Uncle now. Eddie from Ham Radio is in the room. What's up, Uncle Eddie? Shaolin Zone. We have Cousin Richie.
Anybody see Richie?
Everybody's here. Well, the chat room is... Yeah, Shaylin, I know you're listening, babe. Do me a favor. You don't have to hit every Instagram account that we have. You can just send me one message. I got, like, every time Shaylin sends me an email, it's like three emails. I'm like, I promise I'll answer your email. I promise. But she's working the gravy tonight, so...
Oh, there we go.
As are you, yeah, so yeah. We have to get you out of here as soon as possible.
I have to ask you a question.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You're working for... What time you start? 12?
Midnight, yeah.
Till 8.
Yeah.
I gotta know.
It's counting as Saturday, so go ahead.
I just gotta know. Oh, what garbage is there to pick up?
Ah, you're right. valid question. Manhattan, there's more of a night shift. Manhattan's a little bit more lively than the island of Staten, per se.
Well, oh, wait a minute. You know who else is in the room?
Who's this?
Former co-host of Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Whoa.
Mr. Scott.
Fuck him. No, I'm just kidding. I love Scott.
What's wrong with you?
I love Scotty. Scotty's
Kid
great.
Human's in the building. What up, Kid Human?
Yeah, so now basically they...
areas of Manhattan are you hitting? Hell's Kitchen or...
No, I work in like a Chinatown, Low East Side.
Ooh. LES, so. Baby. LES all day.
Canal Street?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
It smells like fish over there, doesn't it?
Oh, Christ.
It smells like fish and bad grease. Because you got the Italians on one side, and there's probably like 7 Italians left in Little Italy.
You got the Italians.
Nice, lemonade.
You got the Italians, and you got the Chinos on one side. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, terrific.
Yeah, so, yeah, got to pull the old graveyard shift tonight, so what are you going to do?
That's okay.
Yeah. My girl wanted to play hooky. She's 100% right. Should have played hooky.
It's okay. He said, what's up, Master Mook?
Ooh.
So what's going on, fellas? How's everybody been?
Everything's good.
Meh.
You right. Back to work now, slacker?
Finally.
Thank God.
Took you long enough.
Oh, God. It
you
was
fucking
so...
dildo.
And it's not like he chose it.
Still haven't gotten my unemployment yet. Isn't that great?
That's going to take... Well, yeah, you know when you're going to get it? Tax time.
Yeah.
When you get your tax check, your fucking unemployment check.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's
fucking
how it works.
Jerk offs.
That's how it works. So, yeah. So, guys, Choppy's not unemployed.
Yeah.
His industry takes 2 weeks off every year, and he's got to put in for unemployment. So, if Choppy doesn't work, he doesn't get paid. So, he's got to put in for the gimmick, and I was like, it's a hassle. Thank God I never had to do it.
Yeah.
I live with somebody who had to do it. It's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
By the way.
It's a nightmare.
The 1 week, the first week, there is no pay for that first week. It's called the waiting week. You don't get paid for the waiting week. It's the second week that you get paid.
Jesus Christ.
And you want to know something? You don't get paid for the waiting week. You just get paid for 1 week.
Oh.
So guess what? 1 week I get. And you know what pisses me off about New York?
That's some
system. Oh, it's retarded. Yeah. And then, you know what else pisses me off about New York unemployment? Why is it that New York unemployment only gives you $500? You go to Jersey, it's fucking $700?
Because we're taxed more.
I don't give a fuck.
No, I'm just saying. That's why.
You know what? I know me and you are anti-Jersey. That's a point in the Jersey column right there.
No.
A point in the Jersey column.
I got to tell you.
Harold's Deli. It's also another point for Jersey right there.
Well, now you're getting out of hand.
Better food.
Mario's in the room. Mario from the barrio. Oh, Big Ron is in the... What's up there, Mr. Ron Singh?
Hey, now.
Our action figure fucking animator. We're going to get Ron on the show.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we got to get him on the show. I'm really interested in that.
I already spoke to Ron. Yeah. We're going to make that happen. Mm. He's a Queens boy, so we're going to make that happen.
All right, there we go.
He's near Long Island. He's on a Queens, Nassau border.
That's not Queens.
No, it's definitely Queens. No, where he is. I'm telling you where he is.
No, fuck Queens.
Anyway, guys, Shining Wizards Matt.
Yeah.
Mario Medina, Mario from the Barrio, and Mr. Matt Spock all donated to Patreon so far.
Oh, fuck word up.
No, fuck. Dude, are you what's wrong with you tonight?
Yo, it's a heel
I
turn.
I fucking fed you. What's the problem? He's back scratching with the fucking mic stand.
Oh.
This dildo. Hey, okay. Taba, how are you?
Oh, Taba's in the room.
What up, Neil?
Taba's in the room.
Oh, that's Jay's boo, man.
Sorry,
hey, boo.
What's up, boo?
I thought she said that to me the other day. I was like, did you just hey boo me? She goes, no. I was like, you just hey booed me.
I don't want to blow our own horn, but toot, toot.
She should have said to you,
if you put your hand on this $150 lid, I'll slap them lips on the side of your face.
Yeah.
That's what she should have said to you.
The best part of
she would have.
The best part of that whole promo. Side of your face. On the side of your face.
Wow, we got a mess here.
Wow.
Barbecue.
Wow. Oh, dear Lord.
I should just do the, like the.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. We.
I know.
Yo, so when I bought the Dusty DVD 10 years ago.
Yeah, it came with the shirt and everything.
Oh, the
shirt,
yeah.
Yes,
little,
baby.
And then a little button that said all the phrases and stuff.
Yes, living only on the Valentine.
Wait. Hold
okay.
on.
Wait.
What in the actual fuck? I have the DVD.
You bought the later edition. The regular, the first edition comes in a cardboard
you
box.
You're supposed to buy it every Wednesday when it first comes out.
Tuesday.
At Best Buy. Oh, I'm sorry, Tuesday. Every Best Buy had it, and you get it like a nice little combo.
But it had the thing with the button.
Oh, Did you get the shirt?
I don't remember a goddamn shirt.
Yeah, well, then you don't. Well, you want to know something?
You got robbed, son.
You got robbed.
Holy shit. Where the fuck is Sam Ash right now? No, not Sam. Sam Goody. Where the hell did I get it from? Oh, FYE.
This guy's a fucking.
You got it all Wick.
Yeah.
All Wick music.
Yeah. It was probably FYE at that point. Damn, I didn't know
FYE?
That.
Is it Oh, no, it is FYE. Okay.
Yeah, for your entertainment.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's what it meant.
Yeah, there you go. Fucking just dropped that word bomb in your
what
brain.
What a mook I am. No, but I remember why. Going back to the Dusty DVD, I remember buying the DVD and they had all those like vignettes of him going to like people's houses and shit.
Yeah.
And he was like, wow, look at this Bubba.
Wow, we got a mess here. Look at this barbecue.
That's when he was the plumber. Then he was the pizza man. I'm the pizza man.
Yeah.
Look what we got here. The Mr. Butcher, he got bologna. Guess what? He's full of it today.
And he's full of it today. And then whatever, when he was checking, he was doing like the gas station thing.
Yeah.
Ooh, let me check your dipstick.
Let
me check your dipstick if you will.
Oh man, that shit was funny stuff, man.
I'd come closer to tipping it to a Jezebel down on the street.
So you mean to tell me that Dusty was never a plumber?
Tip their hat to a lady.
He was never a pizza guy?
I don't understand.
I'm the garbage man. He was,
yeah.
Every vignette was.
You mean to tell me he wasn't the American Dream either?
Fuck yeah.
He was the American Dream.
Fuck yeah. He was the Bud of Woods, if you will.
Son of a plumber.
Son of a plumber, Austin, Texas. The 3-time heavyweight champion of the world, daddy. That's what we're talking about right now. $500,000 a year. That's what we're talking about. I love when he's like, he tells Ric Flair, that's what we're talking about in 1989. $500,000 a year.
But you want to know something? You get so irate whenever Flair talked about his possessions, but then when Dusty talked about it, he was like, you know what? Good for you, Dusty.
Good for you.
Don't worry about it. You talk about your possessions.
So downplayed it.
Yeah, you keep wearing those fucking
fur coats. Can you buy them Cadillacs?
Yeah, let me tell you. I killed 1,700 chinchillas for this here jacket.
Chinchillas, I love it.
Yeah, but I played a really good Dusty promo today.
This is from
January of '88, and he was just like, he was the U.S. champ. Him and Nikita were teaming up, big time, with superpowers, and they Jim Cornette put a bounty on him.
Yeah.
Jim Cornette started managing Dick Murdoch. He's like, and he was like, I know I make fun of rednecks, but see, he's a special kind of redneck. So I'm gonna blow the fourth wall here. At the end of the month, we're doing a Bunkhouse Stampede.
Yeah.
Right? So I've been watching every NWA leading up to the Bunkhouse Stampede. So January of '88, bro. So you had Arnold Tully with the World Tag Champions. Nikita Koloff was a TV champ. Dusty was U.S. champ. And then you had the Varsity Club was just coming together. It was only Rotunda and Kevin Sullivan. And they were all rocking Ribera jackets, by the way. Nikita. Yeah. Too. And then he had, and he goes, we just signed Rick Steiner. I'm like, oh. And then that's the beginning of that.
Fought, yeah, the Varsity Club.
The Sheep Herders were feuding with the fucking, with the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah.
It was a good time to be a fan. So I was kind of like reliving that this whole week. Yeah, my cousin's like, I remember we would drink Phil Ray would do his dusty voice. Yeah. I remember him calling us a cab. I called the cab.
As Dusty?
Yeah.
Do it.
So I like a cab here. Hello, is this Lindy's? Yeah, I want a cab at 6th and 7th to 1st Avenue. Yes, I'm going to the weed spot, nigga. That's where I'm going at. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. So we're going to be doing a Bunkhouse Stampede at the end of the month. It's on the network. I'm going to try to get an original copy of it, but it was from the Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah.
And it was Flair against Road Warrior Hawk for the title.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a good one. That's really good.
Yeah, and then the Bunkhouse Stampede was Powers of Pain, Dusty.
Yeah.
Road Warrior Animals in it.
And that was they didn't do it in 80. Was that a traveling one like the Great American Bash was?
They did a little bit of it. Yes. But I don't know if that particular year, but yes, they did. They did tour the Bunkhouse Stampede.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was in 88, but the one we're doing this was the NWA's first pay per view.
Yes.
The very first pay per view they've ever done.
Yeah.
Was 88.
Because everything else was closed circuit at that point.
Closed circuit, and they had the Clash of the Champions, if you will. That's my baby. You know what I'm saying?
It is, huh?
That's my baby.
Okay.
Oh, my. That's right.
So you did mention the Patreon before, so we should probably plug that. But now that we have
Patreon.com/Terminal Throwbacks, we're going to be doing some more content. Jay had a really cool idea for content, but I'll wait for the break to him to tell you.
Yeah.
Super.
So, oh, yeah.
And Choppy's every recording the Chop Shop. I'm dying to fucking hear what he has to say. So.
With my Choppatorials? Oh.
Choppatorials. What are you stealing my gimmick for, son?
It's not stealing if you created your own name for it.
Okay, terrific.
You got the Philatorial, I got the Choppatorial. You had the Piper's Pit, you had the Snake Pit.
The Snake Pit. Yeah, it's true.
Hey, my name doesn't work good with Toriel.
No, you
Janitorial.
No.
The Janitorial.
That's Janitorial! Janitorial!
Oh, never mind. It does work perfectly.
Oh, man. That's hysterical. That's hysterical. Yeah, so Patreon.com. We're doing some stuff soon. I've been writing and
I'm about to say we were saying what within next month. That's a long shot. But.
Yeah, no, it's not really not a long shot.
No, I mean if we
actually apply ourselves and do it, you know. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. We're gonna be doing
apply yourself, yo.
Apply yourself and don't eat the money, if you will. $500,000 a year, if you bid. Anyway,
that's what we're talking.
See? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking
half
about.
$500,000.
$500,000 a year.
I wonder where The Rock got that from. Oh, the millions and the millions of The Rocks.
Hey, big boy.
Yeah, and the NWA was cool. Luger was a face at this time. He just left the Horsemen.
Yeah.
Oh, it was bad because he calls out Arn Anderson in one of his promos, and Arn just runs behind him and fucking spears him to the floor. Yeah. And then JJ takes his shoes off and starts kicking the shit out of him. I'm like, yeah, good for you, fucking Lexi. I can't stand Lex Luger.
You love Lexi.
No, I don't.
Flexi Lexi, you love
Flexi Lexi, he says. Ooh, you like this hat? You better like this hat.
So there was an episode of Hardcore. You ever heard of the show Hardcore Pawn?
Yeah.
Yes.
So there was an episode where Luger is trying to sell Hawk off his robe. And
really?
Some, like, wrestling gimmicks. And
for New
Isn't that out of Chicago, Hardcore Porn?
It's in the Midwest, yes.
Okay.
I think it's Detroit, Michigan, I think it is.
Okay.
So the guys are like, you know, the guys are like all oohing and awing over the fucking wrestling memorabilia. And then he had the old school robe that he wore when he was the United States Heavyweight Champion.
Okay.
And then they were like, oh, we'll give you $3,500. And he's just like, it's like he's trying to say it's for charity. Yeah. I feel like it was charity.
It's not charity.
I feel like it was for him, dude.
He needs some medical bills at that point.
No, yeah. Well, he didn't have a wheelchair at that point. He was still walking, but he had like a little cane going on.
I mean, let's just honestly, if we're going to talk about it, who the fuck in the world is buying a robe
by
Lex Luger?
Wait a fucking minute.
What?
This prick got a Ribera jacket?
No, he didn't.
Way. Rob got one?
Rob got a fucking Ribera jacket?
No, he didn't.
And I don't have one?
Did he wrestle?
He got a Ribera jacket? This motherfucker.
He must have offered good money.
Yo, what did he do? Whose dick did you suck,
get
Rob?
Get him on the show ASAP as possible.
No, it's It's what time is it over there? It's 11 o'clock in the morning tomorrow there.
And then while you're at it, ask him what the lottery numbers are because I want to win the lottery.
Yeah, do me a favor. Whose dick did he suck to get that jacket,
Rob? They want to know who did you fillet.
Yo, that is sick. Yo, you try to look for it, you can't find them. And I remember years ago, I looked for it on eBay.
Maybe Miku-san helped him out with that.
No, did Miku go in the ring? I'm gonna see Miku this Wednesday.
Maybe Fale hooked him up.
I don't know.
Fale is cool with the guys at Ribera.
Fale is cool with us. Actually,
he's down with the backs.
He's down with the fucking Takeover Club.
He's down with the backs.
The Takeover Club.
Speaking of Takeover Club, we're taking over the fucking 80s Wrestling Con. The table was confirmed today.
Did it today?
Spoke to Tommy. We're all good. Happy New Year to him and his crew.
That is what day is that?
That is April 18th, guys. Go to 80swrestling.com. I can't begin to tell you the fucking lineup that they have for this one. This is going to be way better than the other one. I'm pulling up the website.
I'm sure Mr. Slaughter will be there as well.
We'll get into that in a second. I went in on Nick German in a little bit. I mean,
I'm sure you did.
No, I mean, I told him, you know, I said, sit down, Mark. No, I'm joking. I did tell him to sit down.
I love Marks. Marks are great.
All right. Honky Tonk Man, Zeus.
Zeus.
Sexy Lexi.
Let's ask him.
Jim Duggan.
Who's buying your ropes?
Rock and Roll Express. Shut up. Dirty Dutch Mantel.
Rock and Roll's going to be there?
Dutch Zabisco. Mantel, I'd love to meet.
Yes, of course.
I'd love to meet
Dutch Mantel.
Larry Zbysko.
Larry's going to be there?
Mrs. Baby Doll, Sam Houston.
Oh, shit.
Ted Arcidi, the former World's Strongest
Man.
Yes.
The one who told Triple H to join wrestling school?
Yeah. Dr. D. David Schultz.
Ooh, Dr. Ooh. D.
The Conquistadors.
Is that fake?
The Conquistadors.
Conquistadors, okay.
Little Haiti.
Ugh.
Maybe if Jake gives him enough money for a fucking bumper, he will shave his head. Sean Mooney.
Okay.
Mike McGurk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mike McGurk.
Polish Power. Ivan Putski.
I thought he was dead.
No, his son's dead.
Oh.
What was his name?
Scott Putski.
Scott Putski passed away?
I think so.
Wow.
Holla, 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 Teddy Long.
There okay. we go.
Tony Garea, New Zealand's owned. And Andre's daughter, Robin Christensen Rusinoff.
Wow.
So,
Tony Diarrhea is going to be there?
Yeah, so you guys can join us, please.
Mm-hmm. Former tag team champion.
You can join us, and we'll hope we get to hear from.
Yeah,
that's my bike, punk!
Yeah.
We got my 40, homie. Oh, my grandmama gave me that chain.
But, yeah, that's going to be really cool. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, we're going to have some good times. It's going to be fun. As Choppy would say, it's going to be great.
It's going to be super.
It's going to be super.
Super.
Hello.
Super.
Hello, Frisco.
Hello, Frisco. How's like chicken and noodles?
It's going to be great.
Where you want to go first? We got news that you can use.
We start with the Slaughter thing?
Yeah, because that's I'm telling you.
I
want
to hear Jay's comments on that.
Dude, there's, to me, first off, Slaughter hasn't been relevant in how many years?
A lot.
Right? I mean, let's be honest. 15? 20? You know?
I mean, so he's like, relevant to us because he's a throwback. But
exactly. But I'm saying...
Remember, we gave him directions in the parking lot to go find
Yeah.
A couple months ago.
And my thing is, like, they... Stolen Valor, that's such a heavy claim. Such a heavy claim. Like, and it's completely... And you are not in your right mind to think that he was doing that for anything other than our fucking entertainment. He was a character. What is it from Jay and Silent Bob? Fictional character. That's exactly what he fucking.
Hand jiving?
That was from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Did you see his hand?
Fictional.
He was hand
character.
Jiving.
Yeah, I'm sign languaging on a podcast.
Oh, look who it is. Jimmy Ferrari from Dark Side Light.
Hey now.
The Brooklyn Blast Furnace.
I'm over here now.
Jimmy, I was going to mention it, but now Jimmy's on. He beat me to it. But I didn't mean to cut you off, Jay.
Yeah.
But Eddie Leeway is coming to the Dark Side Light Media.
No shit.
Eddie's got his own podcast. Jimmy picked him up. So we love Eddie Leeway is one of the most fucking, most hardest, best fucking hardcore bands on the planet.
Yeah.
Hello, Miss Fallon. How are you? But yes, so Jimmy, congratulations, and we got to get Jimmy on the show soon. We keep saying it, but we have to get him on the show eventually because Jimmy's a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
So, and Jimmy's a good
wrestler. Love to hear that album.
Yeah, he loves my Undertaker comments.
Yeah, he does.
he knows my true feelings about them.
Dark Satellite Media, we can get him on social media. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on the Twitter machine. Hit us up. Jimmy's doing big things. He's got a Patreon as well.
Okay.
Choppy bought the Over Here Now, but now he's got the Patreon gimmick with the package. If you buy, if you give him a certain amount, you get the T-shirt, the sticker, the whole gimmick. So
yeah.
Hook him up. Jimmy, I need a special shirt made. I can fit into a 3X, but I want the 4 because I'm a little fat in the ass. So I got to get a... I'm on a... Anyway, I'm wearing my fucking Rimco AWA shirt.
Oh, there you go.
So the fabulous ones against the real warriors. So anyway.
But yeah, like to me, it's heavy. I don't know. We're in a weird headspace now where you can just say something and then it just goes viral and all this stuff, and it's taking advantage of what we have, and it's fucking...
Jay, he's chomping at the big head. Finish your point.
Yeah.
Fam, I want to hear what he has to say.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's just like one of those things where it's just like, I don't know. It's so probably minuscule, but it means it's a slippery slope because you could say anything at that point and then it's taken as true. Oh. I don't know.
The floor is yours, partner.
Let me ask you something.
Oh, really. he's gonna do it again. Answer his question with a question.
Let me ask you guys something. What are we?
We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Besides that,
we're broadcast journalists.
We're human.
Not even that.
We're jerk-offs.
We are fans, right?
Yeah.
Of course, we're marks.
And what's the? Thank you. We're marks.
We're marks.
We're all marks, right?
Exactly.
What is Sergeant Slaughter?
Okay, smart marks.
What was Sergeant Slaughter?
He was a pro wrestler.
A professional wrestler.
Yes.
And what is the job of a professional wrestler?
To wrestle?
To entertain.
To make us believe that they are who they are, correct?
Yes.
So where did him saying, hey, I was never a Marine... Or somebody finding out he was never a Marine, noteworthy news right now. I mean, you fucking marks are a bunch of fucking mooks. Who the fuck gave you guys the right to be like, oh my God, he wasn't a real Marine? That's fucking retarded. Shut the fuck up.
This guy's a fucking mook.
You fucking assholes believed that he was a Marine? What the fuck does it matter? The next thing you're going to tell me is like, oh, my God, Erwin R. Schweitzer was not a fucking accountant?
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Ted DiBiase was not a fucking million-dollar man?
Wait a minute.
Hulk Hogan really never took his vitamins? Holy fucking shit.
Wait. Bobby didn't really have a... Bobby the Brain didn't have a Heenan family?
Oh, my...
What the fuck are you doing?
You mean to tell me that Brian Pillman was not crazy? Holy fucking shit. Jesus Christ on a fucking cracker.
Jerk off!
And that's exactly like my point is it's just so fucking heavy-handed.
That's like doing the Nick German's head right now.
No. I mean...
Fuck him!
I said to him, I'm like, really? I said, dude,
He was on board with it?
I said to him, I'm like, dude, I was... By the time I knew of Sergeant Slaughter, I already had ordered the special send away G.I. Joe figure.
Chompy still
right, and then he was beating up Rick Martel on ESPN. So I kind of knew he wasn't a. And then when he was an Iraqi defector,
yeah.
Like, you mean to tell me
he wasn't an Iraqi defector?
You mean to tell
me? Like if he was a real Marine, I don't think. See, I grew up. My brother's a Marine. My brother-in-law was a Marine. My uncle was a Marine. Real Marines wouldn't portray a Marine and flip the script and be an Iraqi sympathizer.
Yes.
You mean to tell me...
Oh, no.
You mean to tell me that John Cena's not a Marine as well?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God!
I mean, all joke. Guys, come on. Let's be realistic.
The 18 wasn't really a team?
Whole.
All that fucking mess my cousin said?
You mean Mr. T was not really a boxer?
I don't understand.
I'm flabbergasted,
and it's, but it goes back to like the age old argument is like you know wrestling's fake, right? It's like yeah, and so are the movies. Like it's like
you mean Darth Vader is really not Luke Skywalker's father?
You know, like
come on, people, it's wrestling characters are roles, acting roles.
I would love to know whoever got it started, the age, because it's I have this outlook that I swear to God, like people do things to go viral. Like they do it in a clear, concise way just to go viral. Like this whole PETA thing with the fucking you can't say,
yeah,
bringing home the bacon and all this stuff. Like you, they have a different.
Don't get me started on that. That's a philatorial.
Yeah, and like to me, I think that's like somebody did it just to be a jerk off, and it caught fire. I think this is that same thing.
You're a jerk off. That's what I think of you.
You mean to tell me that Mark Calloway is not really an undertaker?
Oh my God.
He's not a Tufty guy who puts bodies in ground?
Paul Bearer is not a funeral director? Oh, he was a funeral director.
He was a funeral director. That's the only true legit gimmick right there.
But
Listen, guys, just stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
I mean, I think we're hitting it on the head here, you know? Like, literally, Choppy.
Literally hitting it on the head.
But Choppy's a pain in the ass.
I mean, I would like to hear your thoughts, please.
Like I said, by the time I got into Sarge, he was already fucking beating up Cobra Commander. So for me, I was like, I kind of knew. I was 11 years old. I was like, it was the longest 6 to 8 weeks of my life. I sent away for the fucking gimmick. I was like, I grew up in military, so I know for a fact that military dudes, even in their fake life, are not going to portray anybody that they're not.
Yeah.
It's kind of an unwritten code. Like, even I don't think, like, a Marine wouldn't go as a fucking Marine for Halloween. You know what I'm saying? Like, my little brother, Anime Mike, did 2 tours in Iraq. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, for me, it's like that.
But I would like to think.
The Godfather wasn't a pimp?
You mean to tell me he's not a witch doctor?
Yeah.
Wait. Tony Atlas wasn't a fucking African prince warrior?
Oh.
You mean to tell me that Kamala was not Ugandan?
Oh, my God.
You know what? Bell.
He wasn't. It's because he could go everywhere. Like,
Phil.
Mean Gene wasn't mean?
Wait a minute. Making fun of guys with holes in their jeans, and Phil probably had 2 pairs of JNCOs. No, sir. I didn't have 2 pairs of JNCOs and a wallet chain.
I did.
You jerk-offs did.
I had a chain choker and everything.
I've been wearing Lees and Wranglers since 1982.
Wow, you're
gay. I am gay. I am. And I had a chain on my wallet, but it was a real fucking chain. Like, it was custom-made for me by a fucking biker, so I had that for a little while.
I had JNCO jeans.
Dude, let me tell you something about fucking holes in their pants.
Oh, here it goes.
All right.
Here's a philatorial.
No, stop. I get a call today from my homegirl, and she's like, I'm wearing holes in my pants. I'm like, why? We just had this conversation about a week ago. I'm like, what is the point? Like, what is the point of actually having holes in your pants? You want to spike the fucking seltzer? Okay. I'm coming around to that. I may even try one this weekend. How about that? Okay. But no, I didn't wear fucking pants like that. First of all, I couldn't afford pants like that anyway. First of all, when the money I did have, I spent it on fucking wrestling and pussy. So let's not get that twisted. However, I still can't get invested in people who wear holes in their jeans. I'm sorry. I think it's retarded. You spend all this fucking money on wearing jeans that have holes in them. I'm sorry. And here I am wearing a fucking Remco shirt from 1986.
The only time I have a hole in my jeans is when I rip the crotch area. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my mom would patch those for me because I had the fucking crotch rot.
Yeah.
Man. I was a fat kid.
Actually, you know what?
It's not our fault that we have big bulges. I mean,
yeah, you the fuck. Fallon called me up. She's like, yeah, I'm wearing. She had clothes given to her. It was in that bag of clothes I had. Doesn't make it right.
It's free then.
The best nation in the world is donation.
That's right.
Correct.
Donation.
Ring the bell, right? Fuck. They're gross. And seltzers, the only douches like Matt and Kevin drink them.
Oof.
Hey, those are your friends, buddy. They ain't mine. Don't joke.
So, yeah, I mean, the whole slaughter thing was just ridiculous.
I seen that. I was like, really?
People made a big deal. I mean, some of our guys that are in a circle made a big deal about it. And I was like, it ain't that big of a deal, you know?
I think it's an age thing.
This guy is your age.
That's what I'm saying. We are in that precipice.
I think it's a millennial thing. I don't know.
Yeah, and we are zillennials.
Zillennials?
We are zillennials? Is that what it is?
87 to 91. No, look it up, pal.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're a jackal. That's what 85. I think of you.
I'm 84.
Oh, you old bastard.
That's okay. I'm only getting a year older by the end of this month.
Choppy's birthday is the end of this month. I can't wait to celebrate. Choppy's birthday is the best time because it's winter.
And it's Royal Rumble.
And it's Royal Rumble time. I can't wait. We're doing Royal Rumble 2000 this month.
Well, I know. We should talk about Raw, how Brock Lesnar is going to be entered in at number one.
And the best city in the world, Tony Z, is Generosity. Thank you, Tony. Ring that bell. You can listen to Shining Wizards every Monday on The Rant today at 7 p.m.
Yeah, man. I mean,
you know what? I like it.
I like it.
My mom was in the hospital this week, so I didn't get to watch it. My mom was actually watching it in the hospital when I got there. She goes, "This guy's still fucking wrestling?" I was like, "Ma, leave me alone." I didn't even look at the TV. Every time I
Are you all right, Ma?
No, I'm seriously. My bed is faced, my chair is facing her hospital bed, and the TV's behind me. And she's watching Raw, and she's like, This fucking guy, this still, what the fuck? I'm like, Ma, stop. This is what we do every week. We make fun of Raw. She doesn't even watch Raw. She was killing it. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Brock going in number one.
I love it. I think it's a good way to kind of.
Oh boy.
Oh, I love it. Here we go.
Look at his fucking face. We should get chopped with them chocolate dicks that I saw on Facebook the other day. I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
Oh, Photoshop.
Oh.
Why don't you like it, Chuck?
Why don't you like it, dude?
You know why they're doing this, right?
No. I don't care why they're doing it. I just like it. Why but no. Okay, Master Chops, tell us why. Oh, wise one. Wise one 1984. Tell us what 1984.
Go suck a dick.
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
So I feel that the reason they're putting Brock in there is to see who looks popular to face him later on during WrestleMania season.
So they don't have a winner yet then?
They'll have a winner for the Universal title, but not for the WWE title, what I'm saying.
So in other words, the person who's going to win the Rumble is not fighting Brock Lesnar for the title?
No. No way. There's no way.
So the person who's winning the Rumble is fighting for the WWE title?
Well,
not the Universal title.
No. Brock is the WWE champion.
I'm sorry. Yes. For Universal.
So what I'm saying is whoever wins the Rumble this year is going to end up fighting Bray. Is what I'm saying. So my thought process is pretty much saying I think they're doing. It's just an opinion. It doesn't mean it's going to be factual what's going to happen. I feel like what's going to happen is that they're putting Brock in this match to see who looks like a viable contender in the eyes of the fans. Some people are saying that it might be Kevin Owens going at it with Brock Lesnar. Because a lot of people have been wanting that match to happen.
Well, they could be pulling a Royal Rumble 94 and gauging the reaction like they did with Bret and Luger.
Yes.
I know that's always been the story. So, I mean, I don't hate it. I don't. I remember like hearing it. I'm like, that's a little weird. And then as I thought about it, I'm like, it's true. It's the first time it's ever happened, especially a champion going in. And then the only way to really kind of set it in stone is going at number one. Brock doesn't have to win. But it is a way to create a storyline. Like I said, Kevin Owens would be great. I
still don't mind him being number one. I think it's fun.
It doesn't bother me that he's number one. I mean, it just means that he's going to be working a much longer match.
More than 10 minutes.
Hey,
great! I get my money's worth.
We should time it and see how many minutes he works.
It's going to be 10 minutes. I guarantee it's going to be.
We had a guy in our crew a couple years ago. This guy Rage. He would actually time certain guys.
Yeah.
Like with his little fucking gimmick.
The King of Bacon?
The King of Bacon, yes.
I am the King of Bacon!
So, yeah. I mean, and then, I don't know if you noticed it, but now, out of nowhere, I think this is so fucking stupid. Out of nowhere, Drew McIntyre is a fucking face now.
I caught that. I don't
what
like it.
What the fuck are
I
they
don't
doing?
Like it.
That guy's a killer, dude.
Yeah.
He's a mole.
Gotta be a heel.
Why does he have. Well, he could be a tweener. You know? Caught in that gray area. Well, like he fucked up Noah Jose's fucking crew.
Yeah, which was all. But it's funny because that's like a damn near face turn right there. Like nobody cares about Noah Jose because
he's a fucking jerk off.
Yeah,
fuck him. But I don't like this thing they're doing with Drew. I like Drew McIntyre.
Yeah,
I think he's a phenomenal talent.
Not a fan, but
well, no, he's not a fan of you either. So shut the fuck up. No,
what they're doing with him. You know, they got a...
He's floundering.
But why not... You just said it, though. Why not that slow turn to a face and then size him up with Brock? That would be a great match.
Speaking of, like, out of nowhere kind of scenarios.
I actually like that.
Yeah.
Jay.
I think that's actually, I just thought of it now.
What about
you thinking of shit?
What about last week, man?
What about last week?
Fucking John Morrison appears backstage.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it.
He comes out of the Miz's fucking locker room. He's like, hey, the Miz doesn't want to take it and talk to anybody around it. And just walk. What the fuck kind of re-debut is that for John Morrison?
That's it. It's lackluster.
Are you guys going to form the fucking Miz and Morrison tag team again?
I'm not mad at that.
I'm not mad at that either.
I'm not mad at that
at all. But that's how you debut Morrison?
Speaking of the Miz, my mom, my parents are on it with the gimmick, the reality show.
Oh, they like the show?
They love it. Like, my mom knows who he is, and she's like, he's fucking great, and he's funny. I'm like... Yeah.
How come it doesn't translate well on the TV?
That's what I said to my stepfather. I'm like, why is it not panning out for him like that? And he's like, well, they're fucking crazy. Even his mother-in-law was funny. I'm like, dude, you guys have way too much fucking time on your hands, I told him. But you see, those are the fans that they want.
That's true.
Those are the fans they want. Like that's what Fox wants for SmackDown. They want the casual fan. They want my parents back in the fold.
Yeah, if they want the casual fan, then do some better storylines, man.
I agree. I don't know where they're going with it. Let's see what they do with it first. If they're going to run roughshod on it, if they're going to do a tag team. So now the Usos are back, right?
Yeah, that was cool.
Okay, so
that
the Usos are back. Cool. If you get the Usos, Miz and Morrison, now you're... Again, I'm being a tag team, Mark. And this is at that time of year again. I'm getting all fucking giddy. Jay's going to notice.
For WrestleMania and everything?
Choppy will tell you. Every WrestleMania season, I get my fucking tag team fucking amped up.
His nipples get hard.
The Dusty Tournament almost fucking made a mess over my bed today.
Yeah.
The Dusty Tournament.
How'd you like that?
We'll talk about that in a second. Oh. So now I'm like, you know what? I said, so now if that's going to happen, if they're going to bring Miz and Morrison back, I don't have a problem with that. What they're doing to him now is they're probably just slow burning him for the casual fan. Because you know what? We all know who he is. He's been on Impact. He's been in fucking Mexico. Lucha. He's been in Lucha. So, go ahead, Jay.
But the problem is with that is they made a big deal about it, 2 months ago when he signed or whatever? Not a big deal, but they made an announcement. And he's done great things, Lucha. Impact. He's been all over the place. That's like Chobby said. That's how you fucking introduce him.
I don't disagree. I think it's one of those creative has nothing for you, but yeah. You know what would have been
a really great day for that main event that they had on Raw.
Yeah,
but they did. If you think about it, though, they did the same thing with Daniel Bryan. Remember when Daniel Bryan was the environmentalist?
Yeah.
They brought him on. He didn't say anything. He walked through the halls and say anything. I'm like, oh, what? That's Daniel Bryan. What the fuck, man? He's got to say something. Yes, 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 or something.
Yeah.
But instead, he fucking walked around rowing and just, had a buy.
I liked it though.
I'm not. We loved it, but they did the same thing with him. He'd come out of a dressing room. He'd walk down the fucking the backstage and not say anything. At least with Morrison. Let's see where it goes before we shit on it.
I mean, I think he should have been that mystery tag team partner for Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens instead of Big Show.
That did fall a little. I mean, listen, I love Big Show.
Big Show is almost 50, dude. Come on.
I love Big Show, but it really, it is cross promotion with Netflix because he just did the Netflix show. It's going to be cross promotion, but. To me, you could have used Big Show somewhere else in the show. Like you
How
said,
about as an ambassador, not a fucking talent anymore? I mean, he's done.
And he's in the match next week, right? The fist fight.
I love what they're doing with Seth. Seth has to be a heel. He's such a good fucking heel. And
I've always liked him as a heel, even when he was in Ring of Honor.
And getting these other guys, the Authors of Pain, they don't need to talk. All they got to do is just stand there and look fierce. And like I said, and it's getting Kevin Owens into the picture.
I do not like these guys with Seth Rollins. I do not.
No? I do.
I think they would be much better with Roman Reigns.
I agree. And Choppy and I, that was our dream team.
Yeah.
When Roman got jacked out with the Shield, I'm like, let's get his fucking cousins back in there. And I was saying cousin, we're being fucking racist about it because we don't know. I don't think they're Samoan at all. I don't think.
Yeah. No, I think they're Albanian.
One guy's Albanian, the other
Albanians
one's Samoan.
Fake Italians.
And
sorry, ring the bell.
And then the darker looking guy is
Samoan.
He's Samoan.
Okay,
but I like it so far. I think it's a good fit. You know, I think it's something for them to do. It's something for Seth to do now because you know you got the champion Brock who's dormant always. So it does give a good storyline, especially Kevin Owens. Samoa Joe has to be back wrestling. Did great on commentary, but let him be a commentator in 5 years.
Who, you know? Joe?
Yeah.
Well, Joe is about to be, he's already 40. He's about to be 41 in a couple months.
Yeah.
And I think he maybe has four more years left in him.
I would say so, yeah.
And I think AJ is at that point as well, too, where he's about to, like, you know, retire soon.
Yeah.
Like maybe 2 or 3 years. I think these guys, I think I'm starting to like this idea that it doesn't matter how old you are anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think what matters is
if you could still perform.
If you could still perform, I don't think it matters anymore.
It's like Undertaker's 107. He just can't perform anymore.
You know what? The Undertaker should have retired a long time ago.
If Undertaker was 107, he could still move. I'm in at it.
Listen.
Triple H is pushing 50. He could still go.
He could still go.
Sting actually didn't look too bad in his last match before he got hurt.
He was doing stuff that he should not have been doing.
Because he hasn't wrestled.
Yeah.
At least Triple H wrestles a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, again, these guys can still go. If you could still go...
What does it matter?
What does it matter about the age?
Yeah.
That's just a mark thing. Well, like that's just us being fans and knowing too much about the fucking product.
Because you want to know something? Like, I remember when Hall and Nash went to WCW, I didn't give a fuck that they were 40. I was just happy to see...
I don't think anybody cared.
I was just happy to see a really good storyline.
And you didn't have that much access to the shit.
You're right. It wasn't until like 97, 98, that's when I had access to the
internet.
You were
hip to it, yeah.
I was already hip to all the internet sites.
Oh, they weren't 40 in WC. I mean, they were maybe
towards... They were pushing 40.
But they were in their mid-30s, yeah.
By 99, Hall and Nash were already 40.
Yeah.
So...
You know, so... let's see what happens with the Rumble in a few weeks.
I think the Rumble's gonna be good.
I think...
I'm excited for it.
I think it's gonna be good.
So far for the product that is Raw, because we know how shitty it was towards the end... it's a good start so far. Yeah. Like, or even all around. Like, and
I still don't know who's going to win the Rumble, which is a good sign.
I'm in the minority here, but the Lashley and Lana thing this past Monday wasn't bad.
So
I kind of enjoyed it. I mean, it was a little hokey with
I had to explain that to my
Rusev.
Mom. That was painful explaining that to my
that
mom.
Was a little hokey. He didn't need to do that. Like, why wasn't he there? Like, he should have just been there. They fight.
Why they put like a green screen behind him?
That's so stupid. That was stupid.
I was listening to Jericho interview Vince Russo. It was from a couple of weeks ago. I had just downloaded. You say, "Oh God!" And I said the same exact thing when I fucking downloaded. I'm like, this fucking dude. But he made so much sense. I couldn't knock him. He was talking about the product now and how, you know, why would WWE put all their chips in one basket with certain people and not do the slow burn.
Yeah.
Which is why I changed my attitude about Morrison, because I was thinking the same thing Choppy was thinking. And then listening to Russo, and I'm like, he's got a point. Like, as bad as it is now, as bad as a product is now, why would they have to put all their fucking eggs in one basket and run with something and fucking burn something off and then not have anything else? The problem is time management.
Yes.
They don't know how to fucking put their people in the proper places. They have the people. They probably have the best talent pool they've had in
athletically, in 30 years.
So now, what do you do as a... Because now you have the writers, and you have the agents, and you have the... Now you have producers from different shows. So now you're like, what do you do now? You don't have to... That's why they hated Roman Reigns. That's why they hated John Cena. Because they're like, well, we'll put all the eggs in his basket and see, you know, that's Vince's boy. It's not Vince's boy. Vince likes that kind of stuff, but Vince is not going to, or his people aren't going to let him or allow him to put all their fucking faith in one dude when you have fucking 29 other dudes in the back and girls in the back that can come correct.
Yeah.
So that, and he, I'm telling you, if you listen to Russo, he's bitter to a point, but he made so much sense. Because when he was doing it, when him and Lagana were doing it, or was it him and Lagana?
No, Ed Ferrara.
When him and Ferrara were doing it, it was like, okay, Vince, we have this, this, and this. Okay, go with it. And that was the whole thing. And then when it went south, it became, well, what about this, this, and that's when he had the fallout. But he said he knew certain guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he knew Austin when Austin came to him with the whole gimmick with 316. Go with it, he told them.
Yeah.
They had The Rock. They knew The Rock. They knew certain guys. But they didn't invest all the chips in one basket two baskets, because they had Taker. They had Mick Foley.
Well, this is the first time. And if 2019 proved anything is that they can kind of shine a spotlight.
I understand where he's coming from, but you also have to keep in mind in that time period, who was the guy?
Well, who was the guy?
Who's the face?
Stone Cold?
It was Austin.
Stone Cold.
Right.
So for him to say, like, oh, we can't put our eggs in one basket.
But they really, but storyline-wise, they didn't.
No, they didn't. But in terms of company, in terms of.
No, company-wise, it's fine. I'm talking about the matches and the story.
Yeah, everybody had a storyline.
Not the coloring books, the video games, gotcha. Dolls, none of that. I'm talking about, like,
As a show.
Yes. They gave Roman Reigns the green light. Here, have at it. No one liked it. The dude gets cancer, comes back, he's a fucking hero.
Yeah.
He did nothing. He did nothing but lose weight.
Yeah.
Okay? Because he was sick. Mm-hmm. Okay? Daniel Bryan comes out, comes back, he's a heel, comes back, he's a face. Bray Wyatt, who really didn't change, just manipulated his character a little bit.
Yeah.
You can do this with 5 and 10 other guys. Or then they would do like demote Finn Balor to NXT, but put the chips on McIntyre, or put Joe, put AJ, put Seth, put Kevin Owens. You know what I'm saying? You have enough eggs and enough baskets to fucking weave this all out, but they just don't practice proper time management with these guys.
I think
that's the bottom line.
I think the problem is it's time management for sure, but I also think the problem is the fact that a lot of the times they don't do long-term planning.
Yes.
Right.
It's long-term plan. If like, I remember listening to a shoot interview with Vince Russo, and
they had storylines written out for it.
They had storylines for every fucking character.
He said that about Val Venus.
Yeah. Venus was one of his pet projects.
Val Venus wanted to be a politician.
Really?
Loves politics, talked about politics in the back. And
I can see it now.
And Vince is like, no. Vince was like, no, you're a porn star. Yeah. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. Here, have a towel. And it would, and
it worked.
And it worked.
He was a superstar.
Look at Kurt Angle. He told Kurt Angle, well, this is right when Vince left, but they told Kurt Angle, go out there and push your 3 eyes and tell them that you're drinking milk and you're fucking doing push-ups. And then they hated him.
Yeah.
Ref Lindor was like, yeah, go heel.
Yeah.
And he became a megastar. So it's still about the people and how the fans take it.
Yeah.
It's still about that. It's still about that. No matter what you say, no matter what people think, no matter what the ratings say, if the people like you, you're gold.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not getting the 4, 5, 6s, and 8s on the ratings, but people still like you. People are still buying your t-shirts. Kids are still buying your action figures. And, you know, Phil's still buying stuff, too, because I'm a fucking mark.
Yeah.
Right? But this is the bottom line. So that's where I kind of agree with Vince Russo in a lot of ways, because I feel like, you know, he was in a position where he could have steered guys the right a certain way, and didn't, because he just saw the 6 months, the 8 months, the year down the line.
What I liked about Vince Russo, it was the fact that he could tell who was going to be a mega star and who can be just like, you know, a mid card. And the mid card. And the thing is about the mid carders is that they knew they were happy with that. At least they had some type of direction for their character.
Correct.
For example, The Godfather. Was The Godfather ever going to be WWF champion?
Of course.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. He was IC champ. He was a tag team champ.
He was a tag team champion, Intercontinental.
But he was a draw.
But he wasn't like the main event draw, but he was a draw.
Yeah.
Like Rikishi. Rikishi was another one. Mm-hmm. Wasn't going to be WWF champion. However, he was a mega star with Too Cool.
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. Everyone had a fucking role in the company, whether it was good or bad. I mean, even Jericho at one point, when Jericho first came into the company, he was the workhorse of the mid-card division. You had Benoit, you had Eddie, you had Perry, Saturn, you had...
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe this time was around the time Vince Russo, I think, right? They started writing promos for guys. Like, you got to touch on this. Say this line. Say it like this. That might have been the start of what we know now with the product. I mean,
knew what they had in Jericho.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they told Jericho to come out and do his thing with The Rock, and that was it.
Yeah.
So then they had that, and, you know, you could still do that. The problem is it's not just two guys writing. Or in Choppy's case, it's not just fucking Pat Patterson and
Vince.
And Vince and Blackjack Mulligan sitting in Vince's pool writing shit. Now you have a team of fucking writers.
It's 25 people.
And you have producers and fucking agents, and everybody's in your ears.
It's the funneling effect.
Correct.
And it's
correct.
Just, at the end of the day, I mean, listen, you don't want to see anybody not working, but they could shit can 20 writers.
They could.
And you know, and then still put on the same product, if not better, than what they have now.
I just think the problem with the product is that it's just way overly produced.
Yeah.
Way
too much. It's micromanaged.
Way too many people.
And and I guess it could springboard into, you know, on the AEW side is that.
Oh, let's finish. Let's do NXT.
Oh, so,
We'll stick with WWE real quick, and then we'll do NXT because I got a question about Jericho in the chat.
Yeah.
NXT was good this week.
Yes.
Is it me, and I don't really have a. I'm not an authority on women's wrestling, but Toni Storm, her ass is incredible.
It's unbelievable.
Did she gain weight, or was her ass always
good? From what I understand, all of a sudden, a lot of people are just like noticing Toni Storm. And I'm just like,
no, she's a good wrestler. I see
her
work.
Not even that. I'm talking about, you know, everyone's like, oh my god, you know, she looks great. She looks this, dude. She's had the same physique for like God knows how long.
I missed it because her ass. I mean, I would eat Hershey Kisses out of her asshole. That's how good it looked. Legitimately, I would. I don't eat stuff out of people's asses. I would eat stuff out of her ass. It was perfect. She had the perfect hiney today.
I tell you, NXT would started off great. I actually liked that whole concept.
The four-way for the number one contender for the North American title. Keith Lee's getting a title shot, which I think is dope.
It's going to be the year of Keith Lee, 2020.
You guys called it.
Yep.
The Dusty Classic began.
That was...
Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish.
What a match.
Against Coffee and Wolfgang.
What about the coup for NXT? Who they just signed? Alex Shelley.
They signed him? I thought he was just doing a one-off.
No, they signed him.
Whoa.
Time split is.
Yeah,
so good. Give Kushida. Good. I like Kushida. I like Kushida as a singles guy, but he was way good as a tag team wrestler.
Yeah.
I loved him in New Japan as time split is.
And it's a great way to get him introduced. I mean, not that he's already introduced, but now it's a good way to get him settled with the crowd.
Choppy, how about your boys, Imperium?
Yeah.
Dude, Bartel and fucking Eichner against.
I told you!
Dude, let me tell you something. I liked Imperium. That's Choppy's crew because he's Euro trash, just like they are, right? So, that match was incredible. I love that match there.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of the Forgotten Sons at all, but they hung with them.
Big time.
It was a fun match.
Yeah.
And Rhea Ripley, she's with the whole open challenge thing. And
I love it. Like I said, if anybody should have taken the belt off Shayna Baszler,
she looked the most believable to take the belt off of Shayna.
Yes,
Baszler.
Yeah, 100%. So I loved it.
What about Balor and the Gargano going to go out at Takeover?
Look at Toni Storm's ass. Just look at this for a second.
I saw the picture already. He's talking about.
Look at this coolie.
But it's funny, it's side by side with Candice LeRae. It shows you two different things.
What's up, Jamie? How are you? Toni Storm has that cake.
Yeah.
She definitely does, Jamie.
But like you said, fucking that Finn Balor and Gargano match, finally gonna get it.
I'm excited about that.
What about I don't know if you noticed the Titantron. They were writing the words Prince in the back on the Titantron now. So now they're calling him, you know, Prince Balor, I guess. I don't know what the fuck's going
on. I don't know. Let's jump right into AEW real quick, and then we'll cover New Japan and take a break.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the swerve from Moxley?
I knew that was going to happen.
I knew it was going to happen, and it's funny. When I read it, because I watched half of it, and then I finished it later on in the week. When I read it happen, I go, come on, guys. Like, hey, you're supposed to be different than what we're used to. As I watched it, I was like, they actually did a really good job with it, I think.
So let me ask you guys something, because Tony brought this up in the chat room. Thoughts on how Chris Jericho looks. Apparently people are pissy because a few people are calling him Tubby. I want half our crew to look like him at 50 years old.
100%.
No, I'm just saying. He put on
something. Oh, I thought you had
a picture of him.
I saw a picture of him on Instagram. And
a picture of him right here.
There was a picture of him where
he looked a little beefy at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, but then like everyone was calling him fat because he was kind of like flexing.
He's fucking 50 years old, man.
Mind you, his chest is caved in a little bit.
Yeah, he's always the DDP yoga.
That's like the pectoral atrophy or something.
Whatever,
like that. Yeah.
There was two photos of him flexing, and there was another photo he released a while later, and he said hashtag fit Jericho or something like that.
Yeah, but it was like right before he flexed or something like that.
Yeah, I want these motherfuckers to look like that when they're 50.
I hope to look like that when I get to 50.
And wrestle like that, too.
I know.
But anyway, I like I said, to me, that's just social media being its normal fucking bastard
no,
self.
Bunch of fucking stop. Hating marks.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega and Paige beat the Private Party.
Yeah.
Paige is definitely going solo.
Yeah.
We said he needed to anyway. He's the future face of the company.
I agree.
I've said that before. The fucking Fed even started. Riho beat this Chris Statlander.
Yes.
That was a good match. I enjoyed that. The Spanish God, Sammy Guevara, beat Christopher Daniels.
Yeah, and
I like
it's funny
Daniels in this role, putting the kids over.
Yeah, and it's funny because they almost did kind of like the same storyline throughout the whole, you know.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
Cody and Dustin beat the Lucha Brothers. That was a pretty good match, actually.
Great match.
Do we want to see this happen? If this is going to happen with them, with Cody and Arn Anderson and all that, Arn can't turn like he turned on every other fan member. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They can't do that. And they got to, and then MJF does the fucking ring promo with the decision what the match stipulation is going to be for the pay-per-view. There was a knock on AEW. Nick German brought up in the rant because he never posts on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Hint, hint. But he said that he goes Dark Order should bring in Matt Hardy because Matt Hardy's on the way out in March.
I've seen that, yeah.
Right? And then somebody responded, Matt Swy is like, well, why does everybody want to bring these old conjures back when AEW is supposed to be like the fresh new hype, the new guys up? Don't bring the old guys back and whatever. And both points I thought were pretty valid.
Yeah.
I thought Nick had a really cool angle with bringing Matt Hardy because that's his gimmick, you know, delete, 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 delightful, right? But then you have, on the other hand, like, why bring these fucking old conjures in? Where do you guys stand on that?
Well, especially with the DDP segment where...
That's another thing. He's wrestling next week, DDP.
You know, and there's two ways around it. To me, and maybe I'm just looking too much into it, it looks like they're just trying to win the ratings war. Like, I definitely want to see DDP wrestle, but why waste it on?
Do you at 60 years old?
I'm interested.
I don't think he can go.
I think he can go. That motherfucker can touch his big toe standing.
What does
up.
That mean, man? My younger sister can probably touch her toes too. By the way, Nat, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. I love you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Natalie.
And
I'll see you tomorrow.
But the segment, as soon as I seen it happen, it was so like. So clumsy and like it,
all right,
it, you know, it did, so it did fall flat.
But are we bringing Matt Hardy back? Is that a good gimmick, or should we just have some?
I think it's a great idea.
Okay,
I think it's a great idea.
I like it. I don't.
I'm gonna jump on Matt Squire's bandwagon.
Okay,
just for the sake of the argument. Not
yeah,
because I don't, you know,
I think it's a great idea. Especially he's not being used in WWE. You know,
no, he's leaving in March.
So let him go somewhere. And listen, I'm not saying he has to have a full blown role, but let him be the guy. Let him be the order or whatever. You know,
I still think it's going to be Kenny Omega.
I like that. I like that a lot better than Matt Hardy.
I still think it's Kenny Omega.
If you're going to break the entire lead up, that'd be the best thing to do.
Yeah,
is let Paige go solo. Let Omega have this fucking crew. Brandy's got her little fucking cult crew, which is silly.
And you know, another thing I didn't like too with AEW, and to me, I think they won the ratings or whatever and all that shit. NXT Head and Shoulders was the better show.
This week,
yeah,
yes,
Head
I agree.
And Shoulders
I agree,
above
yes.
it.
Yes, heads.
Like they should have had the Cody Dustin match on first. Let that kick off the show because it's so. If we're talking about storyline continuity, which AEW is supposed to be a lot better at, you know, quote unquote.
Supposedly.
Yeah. You know, Cody wrestles, and then who comes out next? MJF. So you mean to tell me, if I'm following it, they don't run into each other somewhere and try to fight? Like, have it be two different times, not right after each other.
I just think they're trying to figure out.
Yes, they're still getting their feet wet.
Again, the show just. The show Dynamite just started back in October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think they're trying to figure things out.
Yeah, but when we could, I think now they're in the water, so like now we have to start being critical.
Correct.
We can't give they're still new. You know, I think there's still a little leeway.
But let's look at WCW Nitro, man. When they first started off, it wasn't all peaches and cream.
They did it from a fucking mall.
Yeah, they're from the mall, but then
the first match was amazing. But
yeah,
oh yeah, Liger and Pillman.
Yeah.
Oh, Liger.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good segue.
I was just going to say.
So, Jay didn't watch Wrestle Kingdom. Shame on you. Did you watch Wrestle Kingdom?
I saw part of it, yes.
Okay. It was pretty good. Really good, actually.
Yeah.
When I saw the... I thought Ibushi was taking everything.
Yeah.
I really did. They hadn't won the
didn't see this happening.
But, dude, it was a shocker.
Let's go over the results real quick. Yep. Night one, you had the match one of the retirement ceremony, the retirement matches for Liger.
Mm-hmm.
It was Sano, Otani, Tashihito, and Taguchi beating Liger, Fujinami, Gray Sasuke, and Tiger Mask. Then Suzuki-Gun, Zack Sabre, Minoru Suzuki, Taichi, who's going to be the next fucking big star,
mm-hmm.
and El Desperado beat L.I.J., Sonata, Evil, Shinjo, who's another star, and Bushi by submission. Chaos, Goto, Ishii, Yano, and Yoshihashi defeat the Bullet Club, Kenta, Fale, Takahashi, who I love. That's Choppy's boy, the Bone Soldier,
mm-hmm.
Chase Owens by pinfall. Finn Juice wins the IWGP Tag Championship.
That was a shocker for me.
David Finley and Juice Robinson beat the GOD by pinfall to win the titles, which is fantastic.
I thought the GODs were going to hold on to those belts.
This match, I was shocked. John Moxley beat Lance Archer.
I was not shocked.
I was not shocked.
I knew they called it.
I knew it was going to happen.
For the title, for the U.S. title. Now, the junior heavyweight title. This was fun. Takahashi back now after injury. He beats probably the hottest junior heavyweight in a long, long time.
Which I had called too, because I think
you said it.
Yes.
I think Ospreay's going to move up to the heavyweight division now.
Yep. And then, of course, the IC title, Naito beats Jay. Why? And then Okada beat Ibushi, which we all thought Ibushi was going to do the double belt gimmick, right? So that brings us to night two. Takahashi and Ryu Lee pin Jushin Liger and Sano, and they put Takahashi to pin Liger, which is an honor in itself.
Well, that, like I said, and that's just smart booking because now he can use it for future.
Well, Liger, and Liger said that was he
was going to go out on his back.
Yeah. Basically, Roppongi 3K beat Phantasmo and Ishimori for the IWGP Junior Tag Titles. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you. I love all these guys right now. I love Ishimori. That's your guy, the Bone Soldier. Choppy called it from the beginning. He was going to be a big star. And then when he joined Bullet Club, even better. Phantasmo, I think, is fantastic. No pun intended. And I love Roppongi. I love what they're doing with them. And they've
done a lot since
the Tempura Boys.
Since they were Tempura Boys and now the Roppongi. They're great. They're good.
British heavyweight strap. Zack Sabre beat Sonata, which was, I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought Sonata was actually going to win. Because it dips in hype and Sonata up.
Yeah.
Again,
you called it. I know. We know. John Moxley retained. He beat Juice Robinson because Juice Robinson.
I thought he was going to lose to Juice
Robinson. That was your. Yeah.
I thought he was going to lose.
I was surprised that Moxley retained.
What was even more shocking was what happened after the match.
Yep.
Oh.
I cannot wait for this. This
Suzuki
I'm watching.
And him?
Minoru Suzuki.
He's
going to
beat the shit out of Moxley.
I can't stand John Moxley. I hope Minoru Suzuki beats the fuck. Speaking of old people, Suzuki's pushing 60. 50.
No, he's 50.
He's 50?
He's only 50.
He can fuck, dude. He's going to stomp his face.
He's going to fuck his ass.
I hope he wipes I hope he wipes every fucking gymnasium in Tokyo with fucking his face.
Moxley's going over again.
Fuck Moxley.
You're bugging,
dude. He's going over again.
Minoru's going to get that. He's going to be the first Jap to hold that
US
title.
This was my favorite match of the night. Goto beats Kenta for the never open weight title.
Yes.
Oh, dude, I was
Let
shocked.
Me tell you something.
I was shocked by that one.
I was shocked too, but Goto is synonymous with that title
now.
He's a
beast.
Yeah.
He's won that title so many times. They should just give it to him here. Just have it on principle. But it sets up Kenta.
Cannot wait.
So now Jay Huai beats Ibushi. Ibushi 0-2 Wrestle Kingdom this year, which is really, really odd with the fucking push they were putting him. Tanahashi gets beat by Jericho, so Tanahashi by submission.
Yeah.
Tanahashi does not get the AEW title. However,
it does
open up the talks, and I think AEW is now open to dealing with everybody, and not just Mexico.
It was only a matter of time.
I mean, listen, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. All those fucking guys broke their bones in New Japan. Let's not get it twisted. I mean, the Bucks.
But you know what? New Japan has every right to kind of be like, "Yo, fuck you guys."
But Kenny Omega cut his fucking teeth in New Japan.
Yeah, but Kenny Omega didn't leave on bad terms.
No, I'm just saying.
No, nobody did.
All those guys who are running AEW kind of owe something to New Japan in terms of.
And they should give it back.
No, I mean, yes and no. They owe the respect value to it because all those guys broke their fucking bones in there. They all did. They all did this shit in the States, but even Cody. Yeah. Cody had to go to Japan just to get some notoriety to come back into Ring of Honor, win the title, and then fucking go on this crazy run that he had a couple of years ago, right? Okay. Either way, not that I'm saying that they have to, But you give them the rub, dude. These guys are. And listen, New Japan is the hottest promotion right now in wrestling. The hottest promotion right now. Next day, I think even
with all the surprise shockers they did,
okay. So now Naito beat Okada to win a title, both titles. Naito is my man. I've loved Naito for years.
When he was first a babyface, when his first original run, I didn't see anything in that guy.
Fuck Jay White, my brother said.
I didn't see anything in Naito. But then he turned heel.
Then he turned heel, and then he joined LI. Then he joined LI Los Ingobernables in Japan.
Yes.
I mean in Mexico, and then he started a chapter in Japan.
Dude,
he's a mega star. They're probably the most popular group right now.
And they're going to be feuding with the Bullet Club.
Bullet Club, correct.
Oh my god! Look what happened to fucking with Jay White and Sonata now. Sonata and Jay White are going to fucking feud.
Then of course Kenta jumps Naito and gets a fucking now they're going to get a title shot.
Dude, when you told me that Kenta was going for the belt, I was like, stop.
Listen, everybody forgets that Kenta was a big deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was a former Noah champion.
Yeah,
he was a big deal, and let's not. Don't get his state stuff twisted. He was injured. He was
not. Kenta is one of the greatest. Kenta's one of the greatest of all time.
Greatest strong style. Well,
he came from Japan. Yeah, he came from the Kobashi and
And the Kawada.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
I mean, Kenta was like the face of Noah.
Yeah.
At one point, and then he had many great matches with Ring of Honor.
Correct.
And then he went to NXT, and of course that's what it was.
It could have been something better. Obviously.
And then he came back to Japan, and look what happened to him in Japan. He became an never open weight champion. He might win both straps.
There's a good chance.
It's a possibility.
I'm not mad at it.
Me neither.
I'm excited to see it.
You want
to
build new star, and then they tease a tag team with Tanahashi and Ibushi.
Yeah, dude.
Can you imagine that? The Ace and the fucking Golden Boy.
Yep.
I just kind of feel bad for Ibushi, man. Every time I think he's gonna win the big one, they always pull the rug from under him. Dude.
I think it's a slow burn with him.
You think so?
I think.
You think he's gonna win the G1 again this year?
He might.
Could be a possibility.
He might.
But him and the Ace as a team might be pretty good. I'm not a fan of the Ace. I'm really
no
not.
No, I love Tanahashi.
I'm not a fan of Tanahashi, but I could see them doing great things with
Tanahashi. He's a little old in the tooth.
Yeah.
But he's still popular.
Listen, Tanahashi is only 42 years old.
I mean, old in New Japan.
Yeah, no, and he's been there for years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What I'm saying is put him with a tag team because obviously his body might be beat up.
Keep him relevant.
Keep him relevant. His body's a little beat up, so let Ibushi do most of the bumps.
And Ibushi's a tag team specialist.
Ibushi's
anyway.
Fucking money, dude.
He is money.
Oh my god.
He is money. So I think honestly, Chop, I'm gonna jump on your bandwagon, but I'm gonna stay in the back of the bandwagon. I think it's a slow burn.
I think it's gonna be
a good deal.
And not to discredit Naito's win because I love Naito as well.
Yeah.
The fact that he got both belts
and the story was good because he hurt his knee.
Yeah.
And it was like and then Kevin Kelly's like he's gonna go into tomorrow with the knee injury and he comes out he's fucking milking the knee. I'm like yeah. See, like this is what I love telling these stories. It's like you don't have to have the over-the-top production and the writing. These guys had just come out with their gimmick and tell a story, and that's what I love about New Japan. They can do that without fucking selling you the fucking whole farm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Going back to the whole AEW New Japan deal, do you think that eventually, once they've kind of smoothed things over between both companies, do you think we might see some of the talent go over to AEW?
That's gonna have to wait a while.
How long do you think we're going to
I don't know, because I feel like I feel like AEW has to do more yet.
On their own, yeah.
On their own until they can, you know, when they start selling the pay-per-views, they start getting the bigger venues. They have TV. You bring a New Japan guy on TV, on network prime TV, it's a wrap. This ain't Access, kids.
Yeah,
this is fucking Turner, dog.
But what's TNT. But what's the other side of that?
The other side of that is fucking, you could swap talent. You could send the Bucks over there. You could send Marty over there. Paige.
Could you imagine? Kenny
Omega.
Could you imagine the GODs going to AEW?
Can you imagine coming out with the Lucha Brothers?
Oh,
it would be like I said. But I'm just saying, how many people actually know New Japan at this?
But here we go again, dude. You have a casual fan.
Yeah.
They have a streaming service in English. It's only $9.99 a month.
Everybody wins. I agree.
Correct.
But I'm just contrarian there with
right.
that.
Right. You're playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
But you're getting to be a good broadcast journalist.
I'm wondering if seeing as that, you know, nobody wants to pay top dollar for pay-per-views nowadays.
Yeah.
Do you think AEW comes up with a streaming service eventually?
Not now. When they have enough. When they have enough fucking. They don't have enough footage, obviously.
What I'm saying is
they don't have enough.
Pay like a $5 fee.
A couple of years down the line, they'll have that. Yeah. If they stay in service, they're gonna be.
If they do anything, like I said, they're gonna stay on Fight.
You have to have content. See, New Japan has
content
since 1972.
Tons of content.
Content.
And now they have English and Japanese. So, I think we have any other news? Anything else?
The CM Punk tweet.
That's on you. I didn't read it.
Yeah. So basically, the CM Punk tweet is as follows. So Miz says something very like a little snarky.
Yeah.
And basically, the tweet goes as followed by
you don't throw rocks at a guy that's got a machine gun.
So he says, "Oh, sorry, I didn't get to change the culture." This is at to WWE on Fox. And then Punk retweets it and says, "Go suck a blood money covered dick in Saudi Arabia, you fucking dork."
Wow, that sounds like there's some past heat there.
And then I don't know if you know about this, but apparently, the tweet got deleted
by Punk.
So it makes me wonder now, because Punk is in contract with Fox, not with WWE, supposedly.
Yeah,
it makes me wonder. Okay, he said this. He took down the tweet. Is he still working? Is he working with WWE? Because WWE would make him take that shit down.
But who's to say that Fox wouldn't either?
I don't know, man, because Fox, he has a good deal with Fox.
You don't see Joe Buck out there telling fucking Troy Aikman to go suck a blood-covered...
I'd love to have him do that.
Dude. But, it just seems like he said it in the moment, and then, you know, either they talked offline or whatever the case was.
This comment was kind of fucked up. He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry I didn't change the culture here."
Yeah. But dude, you can't, you don't like trade jabs with fucking CM Punk. He's going to eviscerate you.
CM Punk is going to tear you up.
Yeah.
Dude. You know what's funny about the, I didn't know anything about this. I didn't see it. But now that I'm thinking about it, you're right. But you don't bring a knife to a gunfight, obviously.
Yeah,
correct. But on the flip side of that, you know, playing devil's advocate, kudos to Miz for even making an attempt.
Why not?
Because you know what? If you can do that and still keep your sense about you, because he's not relevant. Miz is a top guy now.
Miz is one of the best talkers in the company.
Yeah.
Correct. So that, if he
and Miz can hold his weight.
So why not take a shot?
Yeah.
It's like when, listen, I was watching, it's funny because it's funny you bring this up, because I've been watching this series. It's an old series on ESPN called The Bronx is Burning. It's about 1977. Yeah. It's an ESPN movie. It's about the Son of Sam, the blackout, and then the Yankees winning the title.
Okay.
But that whole year was turmoil. Like it was like fucking New York was in a bad place. Reggie Jackson and the manager Billy Martin were fighting. The Son of Sam is shooting people, and it had this. But they had this contrast of, like, you know, where Billy Martin would talk shit about his player to the media, and then so would Reggie Jackson, but then when they would get together in the room, it's like, nah, it's all right. I feel like this is like that kind of thing where if The Miz and Punk were in the same room, it wouldn't be like that. They're just trading jabs for the sake of trading jabs. And I'm not saying it's a work. I'm saying, like, okay, I'm going to keep you at an arm's length. Like, it's one of, like, you ever, when I was growing up, you always had this one kid in the crew who ran his mouth, but he made sure he stood behind me when he ran his mouth because he knew he couldn't fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's The Miz.
Yeah, but he plays that perfectly.
He plays the part like he can.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? So it's like that it's that kind of party. What's up, Matt Squires? How you doing, brother? We just talked about you before.
And why would you not?
Sweet Lou.
Who's to say that Seth Rollins wasn't doing the same thing? He's just, yo.
Right. Listen,
he's putting bait on the hook. Let's see what happens.
That's the word I want to use. If you're going to bait, right? If you're going to do that, do it with fucking Punk.
Yeah.
Go for the throat, dude. This is what you do on Facebook all the time. You'll see something, and he'll just go right for the fucking person.
Yeah.
Not bullshit around, not be like me and not too negative, but not too positive either, passive aggressive. No, this motherfucker goes right for your throat.
Yeah.
But he'll pick his spot, whether he's right or wrong. And I feel that's what Miz did. He picked his spot, whether he's right or wrong. Of course, Punk tears him up because it's Punk.
Yeah. Awesome.
But
awesome.
You got to give props to fucking to Miz.
I agree.
So, good segment. I like that. All right, listen, take a quick break.
Yes.
Let's plug our friends.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really cool throwback for you tonight.
Yes, we do.
Courtesy of Jay and Choppy, this dead baby.
Finally,
tonight.
Good.
Finally, something good.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, you got to help me then. Pick out some fucking content. I do all the fucking planning here.
You are the CEO
right.
of Phil Rhea Enterprises.
Phil Rhea Enterprises.
So you better come correct. I'm just a talent.
I better come correct.
I'm just a talent.
I'm the talent.
So if I bring up a shitty topic, you guys have to make it
but,
look good.
But I also like doing a shitty topic because I just love
it. I just love making fun of it. It's the best.
I love making fun of it. So it is hard.
All I hear is another fucking WCW show.
Yeah, next week, another NWA show. What the fuck?
You just said it, but he goes right for the throat.
That's what I'm saying. He's a fucking bag of douche, man.
What?
All right. Turnbuckle throwbacks.
What?
We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
Revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is Haku, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil, Jay, and the big pain in the ass, Choppy.
Yes.
All right, make sure you listen.
Thank you.
Yes, Haku say so.
ECW presents the very first major wrestling event of the new millennium, and it ain't your daddy's wrestling no more. It's an over-the-top, out-of-control, hardcore rebellion that has the censors nervous and the establishment up in arms. They allege that ECW is the ruination of society. And they're right. ECW's guilty as charged.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. When they showed this, they were playing his music. I was like, are you kidding me?
I was going to pick something else, and Jay was carrying on the car. He was like, yo, I love that fucking song. I'm like, you know what? Maybe we'll come back from the break with that.
Who was the band that played the song?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
Did you want to know something? Every time we watch an ECW pay-per-view on the network, they play the song.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was his song, though. That was his song.
Mm-hmm.
But then he became the Fat Chick Thriller. That was pretty cool, too, though.
Okay. You might have to turn me down a little bit. I think I'm a little loud.
All right, how about
there
that?
There I am. All right, yep.
We're back. Turnbuckle throwbacks.
All I hear is bitching.
I was talking to my mic.
Yeah.
Fuck the revival.
But
anyway, all right, we're back. Turnbuckle throwbacks live on a rant, emradio.com, part of the Shining Wizards Network, part of Dark Satellite Media. It's Phil, it's Jay, it's Choppy.
We're part of a lot of stuff, aren't we?
Fucking, we're part of a wonderful array of networking fucking talent.
Yep.
You like that, huh? I'm learning big words again.
Array is... Array?
Arrayicon. Not the lexicon.
Oh, hello.
Arrayicon.
The Mexican.
Con-con-me.
I was about to say, put that in the fantasy pile. We could maybe do a Rayacon.
Will you stop?
All right.
July 9th. No, January 9th.
If you're a wrestler, I'll tell you right now, your finishing move would be the Rayacon.
The Rayonator.
Yeah.
No, my move would be the Rayonator. It would be some kind of pile driver or like that. Remember that move Samoa Joe does, the muscle buster?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be the Rayonator is a muscle buster from the second rope. I thought about that when I was a kid.
Me too. I was actually, funny enough, now we're getting on that. It was Nova's move. I forget what he called it. The Kryptonite Crunch, but I used to call it the Cop Drop.
The Cop Drop. I love it.
Suck it, Choppy. You don't have any names for your moves.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, no.
I use Doink's whoopee cushion called the Chop Dust.
The Chop Dust. Oh, that is fucking
That's
awesome.
That's fucking rich.
Damn it.
That's rich. That is rich. All right, not July, January 9th, 2000, the first ECW pay-per-view of the new millennium. Birmingham, Alabama.
Very surprising that they went to Birmingham for this one.
4,700 paid. Okay.
Not a bad crowd.
Joey Styles, Cyrus the Virus on the sticks.
Yeah, opening up the pay-per-view.
God, Cyrus is such a good heel.
Cyrus the Virus.
He was so good.
This is Guilty as Charged 2000, requested by Jay and Choppy with a .21 buy rate, Chop. For ECW,
listen,
it's not bad.
ECW, at this point, 99-2000, solid number two. I think they were solid number two.
No, not yet.
No?
They were still number three because they weren't drawing as much as WCW was.
This was the last big year for them.
It was.
That's what I was saying at this point. I don't know. At least in my opinion.
This is the year that they were building Rob Van Dam as like...
That was my favorite match tonight, by the way. We'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
Your opening contest was C.W. Anderson. Take with Louis Dangerously, by the way.
Yeah, part of the Dangerous Alliance.
Wasn't Louis Dangerously sign guy?
Yes,
yeah.
Louis, sign guy, right?
Yeah.
Louis DeAngelis. DeAngelis,
right? Yeah, okay.
Going up against returning Mikey Whipwreck.
Yeah.
First Triple Crown ECW winner.
Yes,
yeah.
You're correct, sir.
I didn't dislike this match.
This match was really good.
I liked it.
There's one thing about, I mean... Once again, so I said it to Phil during the break. It was refreshing to watch good wrestling, but now with 20 years later and 20 years eyes, I guess there was so much wrong with ECW.
Oh, look at this! Look at the broadcast journalist. Speaking of Jay,
so much wrong with
Matt
ECW.
Matt Squire says Jay looks like an East Coast Yukon Cornelius from Rudolph.
I have to Google that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to Google that. I'm not denying he's wrong. I've been told I look like a lot of different people.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
Yeah,
call me whatever the fuck you want. Don't call me late for dinner. This was a good match. 3 minutes and 42 seconds.
Yeah.
CW looked like an Anderson. He wrestled like an Anderson.
Yep.
And was as old as Arn Anderson.
He was old as Arn Anderson, too.
Believe it or not, CW Anderson was like 29 at this point.
Yeah.
He just looked 49.
Yeah.
Like Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson was 26. He looked 46.
Yep. I love Arn Anderson's spine buster, but the spine buster in this match was fucking sick.
Yeah, and like I said, they played it to a T, and he was excellent in the match. Like I said, the little fucking interference was a little wonky for me, but
yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, if ECW had stayed in business, I think I would have seen CW Anderson as a television champion.
Yes.
Or a tag team champion.
Yeah.
If they stayed in business, you said?
Yeah, if they stayed in business, for sure.
Okay. That's fair.
And like I said, the Louis Dangerously stuff, I actually kind of liked it. I mean, can't cut a promo anywhere near. They should never even put a microphone in fucking Sign Guy Dudley's hands. But they had the bricked cell phone. I like I said, all in all, it was definitely a good opener.
I did like it when they had what was his name? Easy Money.
And Julio De Niro.
Julio De Niro,
yeah.
And the other guy,
Luke Hawkins?
Fucking dude who was the redneck of the group. I always forget his name.
Yeah, yeah. Mario wants to know why Choppy's always eating on air.
Yeah, Choppy's like, oh, I'm not hungry. I ate before. And what did I say?
Catering.
I said, give him a half hour. He'll be slapping his lips on the microphone with a slice.
Watch this.
I said, yeah, he'd be slapping them
gums. Terrific.
Nice, lemon ice.
You know why I'm eating, Mario? Because I like to eat.
Yeah, apparently. Your next match was a six-man, Simon Diamond.
Correction, six-person.
Six-person.
I'm sorry, you're right. Six. Well, yeah.
Fucking jerk off.
Jazz will come in and
sorry,
kick your ass.
She will. Crazy.
Speaking of which, there's also a stripper in this fucking show.
Simon Diamond, Danny Doring, and Roadkill.
Chickens.
Against Jazz, Kid Cash, and Supernova.
Yep. And like I said, I mean, I don't remember... I was watching ECW pretty much religiously at this point.
When is it Choppy eating?
Who's this?
Matt Squires.
And I don't remember Simon Diamond being like, you know, ambiguously gay. Like, I don't remember that ever being a thing.
He was androgynous. He wasn't really gay.
Yeah.
He was like, you know.
Well, they were playing it. And that was another thing with the commentary. I love Joey Styles as a commentator. And towards the end, like, well, I'll have a question about him, but... And, but there was, I mean, we were saturated with fucking insider fucking terms and double entendres. It was almost mind numbing.
Look at Jay being critical of the stream, bro.
You want to know something?
What's kudos. Up with that?
Yeah.
Kudos.
Man, I guess
the truth hurts.
Every crew needs one.
The truth hurts.
See, he's the good cop.
Yeah.
I'm the bad cop.
Well, he's bad cop tonight. You're an ECW fanatic. You're a mark just like me with ECW.
That's correct.
Yeah, you like this? Good cop?
Yeah.
Bad cop?
But, like I said, all in all, I loved the match. I loved it was what ECW was about. Minus the intergender stuff.
I didn't care about the match.
I liked it.
I was
too much going on.
It was 10 minutes. I mean, you're saying that. It with a straight face.
Correct.
But that's ECW. There's always stuff going on.
Yeah.
You hardly had the one-on-ones. Hardly.
Well, first off, you had the fake titties in the match.
Fake
titties everywhere, though.
Not Jazz.
Jazz was an angry lesbian. She didn't have fake titties.
But Elektra, you know, had them things dancing like Lex Luger, apparently.
As Matt Bowman would say, look at those hitters.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but she was also a stripper in the Sopranos movie.
Yeah.
She was.
Mm-hmm.
She was.
On the show, sorry.
Bada bing. I'm over here now.
And
yeah, that was 10 minutes. I couldn't get back though.
Yeah, like I said,
it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. I mean,
and
dude, what about that splash from fucking Roadkill?
Oh no! Listen, Doring and Roadkill were Taz
I loved
graduates.
It.
They can go, man. Taz only put out like four wrestlers at that school, and all four of them were good.
What the fuck was always forget Taz cousin's name. Who's in the
Chris
match.
Chetty?
Chris Chetty. I
fucking hated him.
Oh no! What's up, Pastor?
What do you mean? You mean to tell me like he was supposed to be like Teddy Hart? Like as soon as he came out, I'm like, who is he? Fucking Teddy Hart? I'm like, oh, this is before Teddy Hart.
It's new grandpa, Pastor Sadell.
Jesus.
Shaylin said, Phil is the judge, Jay is the jury, Choppy's the executioner.
Yeah. Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, you think?
Everybody's off with their head.
Judge Jay.
But instead of Judge Jeff Jones, it'd be Judge Jay Jones.
Judge Jay Jones.
That'd be Triple J.
Triple J.
So, you know, Roadkill was one of the best.
Oh,
yeah.
man. For a big man, yeah, 100%.
And then he could walk those ropes like nobody. No wonder,
you know, Roadkill, if he would have got another gimmick, he could have been the next Bam Bam.
Yeah. Could have.
If he would have stayed around.
I don't know if you know this, but he was hired by the E in 2006, but he was wrestling for OVW.
Yeah, him and Doring.
Yeah, and they just let him go. They were like, yeah, nah, we're good. Thanks, bye.
Probably couldn't cut a promo.
Matt Squires was great. He goes, being on the West Coast, my first exposure to ECW was the N64 game.
Ah.
And then Pastor goes, great. I show up during the stripper segment.
Then
we'll pray for you, Pastor.
But then
actually, you should pray for us.
But then, like, I look at Chris Chetty. I'm like, he was a graduate of the House of Hardcore, and he fucking sucked.
I didn't mind Chris Chetty, man.
I remember
Taz's cousin.
I remember when he first went up against Shane Douglas in Barely Legal 97.
Yes.
Everyone was chanting, let's go Kramer.
He came out to Ozzy, Perry Mason.
Ugh.
I love that song. New Ozzy came out today.
Oh, yeah.
With Elton John.
Yep.
Wasn't bad.
And Slash, I believe.
And Slash, yeah.
Slash is the man.
I'm not
wrong in my eyes.
No, I'm not even mad at that. You know who was a big Guns N' Roses, Mark? Sweet Lou. Lou Rodriguez.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's like a fucking fanatic about the Gino. Anyway, next match. The tag team match.
Yeah.
Super Crazy and Yoshihiro Tajiri, one of Phil's favorites.
Yeah.
Against Jerry Lynn.
One of my favorites.
One of Jay's and one of Chopper's favorites, and Little Guido.
Yeah, I it's same
this
thing.
Match was fucking good.
Every match had like a little bit of a promo where I was like, you know, it, once again being critical of ECW.
This match was fucking good.
This match was great. Like I said, you have Tajiri and Super Crazy on the same team, especially at this time where literally they had consistently the best match of the night. Maybe not the best match of every night, but. They were in the conversation.
I just hate the fact that Jerry Lynn took the L on this one again. I mean,
yeah.
He's the guy who's lost more times in ECW than any other person in fucking history of that company.
More than the main event?
Oh, okay.
That dude loses all the time.
Oof.
Meanwhile, he puts on a good match.
You mean LSD? Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if he lost more than
Jerry Lynn lost a lot, though.
He lost a lot of, I think
big matches, too.
Correct. That's what I was getting at. I feel like you're comparing that to the spot that he was in. Like Al Snow. Al Snow got some pretty primo matches in ECW and he never won.
That's true.
See what I'm saying? Like a lot of guys. Mick Foley.
Mick Foley won some good ones, didn't he?
Nah. As a tag team.
Yeah.
Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah. Tommy would only win the belts if someone was leaving the company. That's the only time he won.
But that's how he wanted it, though.
Yeah, he said he never wanted
championship.
Yeah.
And then there was the match. This by the way, this match was really good. Jerry Lynn took the loss, which is fine. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was already a star because of the matches he had with Rob Van Dam.
Oh, 100%.
And then you had fucking Carino come out with his crew.
Oh,
yeah.
And then Dusty comes out, beats the shit out of Carino.
Oh, I loved it.
And then the network starts beating the shit out of fucking out of Dusty because Rhino jumps in. Rhino looked very svelte in this match.
Yeah. I just heard Rhino on Jericho.
I heard it was a good one.
It was fantastic.
I didn't hear it. Yeah, I didn't hear it yet.
Rhino's the man.
Yeah, old Rhino is.
Out of town! Oh, you no good Jews out there!
Oh, sorry. You said Steve Corino had to play.
Yeah.
So, no, Corino was the man on the mic.
Go.
Dude,
awesome.
I still want to get, if any of my throwback is listening, can you put me hip to some 0-1 with Steve Corino?
He was 0-1 champion.
I
want
to see some of his matches in Japan.
He's a very decorated.
He was very good wrestling, man.
Yeah.
Dude, he learned a lot.
I like Steve Corino.
XPW world champion.
Him and Dusty had the bull rope match.
Yeah. That's why. Like, and this was, and they already had the match at this point, correct?
Not yet. They were building to it.
This wasn't Dusty's first time in the company, though.
No.
Yeah.
But what was going on? They were building to that match.
Yeah. Okay.
That match is fucking amazing. Oh.
Dusty could barely move when he came out with the jeans and shit.
Yeah, but he came out and then he did that elbow.
He beat the fuck out of Steve Corino.
Yeah.
But then
Steve Corino ate it. It was so. Oh, we'll talk about that
when it comes out. And then Styles was like the most electrifying elbow in sports entertainment.
Yeah. I'm telling you. And Mario said it's one of his favorite ECW matches. If I had to rank
there's some doozies on.
There's some doozies on this list. I have a list. Me and Choppy, when I first met Choppy, we couldn't even come up with a definitive list of ECW matches because we're going 93 to 95,
yeah.
95 to 99, 99 to 2001. Like, I mean,
the first one that comes into my head right away is the 2 out of 3 falls with Eddie and Dean.
Eddie and Dean. I was there for the second one. And then, of course, there was Taz and Sabu. There was
Taz Sabu versus Benoit and Malenko. Oh.
Yeah, but how do you not like Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn?
Rob Van Dam, Sabu.
Yep.
Rob Van Dam, Bam Bam. Rob Van Dam, everybody.
Yeah. You
know? What about Jerry Lynn and Justin? That he
Jerry
waved,
Lynn just incredible.
He waved 98.
Yep.
You know.
What about Sabu and Rob Van Dam versus Hayabusa and Jinsei Shinzaki from
Heat? That was Heat Wave 98.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, they tore. Yeah.
But you can, I mean, again, you know, that, but Dusty and Carino have to be on my list.
Yeah.
Have to be.
That
not,
match was.
Not because he's Dusty.
I was just going to say because.
The match is fucking good.
And then
the
you
match.
Also have fucking Bam Bam and Taz.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Asbury Park. Oh.
No, but dude, there's so many.
We're such marks for ECW.
I'm telling you, man. So good. I'm telling you.
And that's like, and I said it to Phil, like, you could, I could see why now it didn't, it was supposed to have a shelf life because it, the style really. Not conducive.
I used to get into arguments with people over ECW, like, oh, ECW is whack. It's not WWF attitude. I was like, motherfucker, if it wasn't for ECW, there would be no attitude.
110%. But like I said, like this match, you know, especially like coming out with Dusty at the end, I was like, where's it going to go? I even loved the ending of the match we didn't talk about. I loved the whole double cross on each side. Like, I was like, oh, that's some pretty good, you know, that's pretty new, at least, at, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
And it just tells the story to keep going with. You need to keep Super Crazy and Tajiri at odds.
Oh yeah, but then all the fucking not even the heels, just but the baby faces and the heels coming out.
Yeah.
To stop the network from destroying Dusty because everyone loves Dusty.
Yeah.
Even Simon Diamond's dick was out there too. As
well. But and that's what I'm saying. Like, you couldn't get a better crew of guys. Like, you had to get those guys out there. You know.
They had them all though. It's all right.
Yeah. But like I said, to me. It was good so far, but and it was still like even like during that time, like the commentating, I don't know, maybe if I just want Joey Styles needed to be solo. Like, Cyrus was great on the mic, and he's correct. Still and he's still great on it, but man, it was inside a term heavy
all the time. But then, like, and this is how they kept their fans, because a lot of the fans of ECW love the insider shit.
Oh yeah, 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 and that's what I'm saying. And you could see it there.
Now the next match, well, prior to the next match, is they had a promo with New Jack coming down the stairs.
Awesome promo.
Oh yeah,
what a promo.
Oh dude, he was a great promo, but his matches, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
one dimensional, two dimensional.
Well, they were necessary, I feel like.
Well, you have to keep the product diverse with having New Jack there, because you need those hardcore, like, Brody, Abdullah the Butcher-style matches, and that's what Jack was.
And that's what ECW kind of more or less built its name on, was that kind of anarchy, crazy style and what have you.
I actually thought that New Jack at one point was going to be the ECW television champion when he was going up against Rhino. And I was like, oh, man, I hope New Jack gets the belt, dude. He'd be fucking great as television champion.
But, yeah.
But, no, this match with New Jack and the Baldies, which was DeVito, Grimes, and fucking Angel.
Yeah.
I hated the Baldies. They fucking suck.
Yeah, this
sucked.
Is not the first time I've heard Choppy's hatred for the Baldies.
Oh,
yeah.
They suck. The only good thing about the Baldies was Big Vito. That was it.
Yeah.
But he left, but he was already in WCW at this point.
Yeah.
I think this was an instance where I think all these guys were pretty good in the ring. I just didn't like the gimmick. Does that make sense? I liked Angel. I liked Grimes. I liked DeVito.
DeVito's good.
I liked all those guys.
Out of the three, I think DeVito was the best out of the three. But
well, yeah, Vic Grimes was he was nothing. He was,
New Jack hates Vic Grimes.
Yeah. Hates
him. He said he wanted to kill him in the ring one time.
But and like I said, I mean, the habitual, you know, stage dive onto the table, and then like Vic Grimes is up 3 minutes later.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, dude, he didn't have to be there for the celebration. Like,
sell it.
Yeah, sell it. You know, that type of thing. But like I said, this was a quick match, and it sucks watching it on the fucking.
Yeah, because the music is fucking awful that they have playing throughout the whole. I can't watch a New Jack match on fucking the network because they ruin it with the music.
They ruin it with the music. Like, play fucking Ice Cube. I'm pretty sure Ice Cube will have no problem free promotion.
New Jack was as necessary as kidney stones.
Oh, whoever said that, do not reveal yourself, because New Jack will come and stab you.
Nah.
I'll give you herpes, one or the other. Supposedly, that's what Marlena said.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I still think he was necessary for ECW.
I agree.
Then the, after the match was over, we have a promo by Mr. PPV himself, RVD.
I liked
Fonzie the walks in. He's like, damn, Van Damme, let's open this up. Let's air it out over here. We got to do a promo, daddy.
Yeah.
Got to do a promo,
I
baby.
Loved it. I love that.
We
got to
do a promo, daddy. He's like, oh, we got to do a promo. And then Rob was sporting the new ECW World Television title. I like that version of the title.
You know what? This is like a broken record because every time we bring this up, Choppy's like, I love that fucking title.
Yeah. That's so nice. It's better than the NWA television title. No, I'm just kidding.
let's not get crazy now.
Let's not get it twisted.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not that much of a heel, Choppy.
Yeah, New Jack was a true definition of a carny wrestler.
And
I don't think New Jack was mad at that either. New Jack knew his role.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit.
Yeah, it wasn't about that. It was about fuck you, pay me. I'm going to do what I want, you know. And
they paid him handsomely, actually.
Oh yeah. And then
So they do the promo.
And then Rob is like, Fonz, you got my back. He's like, hey, yeah, Daddy, I'm all the way with Rob Van Dam. You're the whole fucking show. Walks out. Hey, Sabu, we got to do a promo,
oh,
Daddy.
God. I don't know. Like, this, I love this. I love this aspect
hysterical.
Of it.
This was one of the best stories because there was always this
tension.
Well, not even that. There was just tension between the two. There was two big egos that made an amazing tag team.
Yeah.
And as much as we hate Sabu because he's a fucking jerk off in real life.
I was never a fan of Sabu.
I was never a big fan of Sabu.
But even as a wrestler.
No.
Never.
Really?
If you take away the steel chair, he's not that good.
He's really not that good. I disagree.
I think he mesmerized people because he was one of the first guys to bring that FMW Japan death
match.
I'm even gonna go
deeper than that. I'm gonna go with there is nobody. There is probably nobody that worked harder than Sabu. In ECW.
You're bugging.
Better than Tommy Dreamer?
Better than fucking Van Damme?
Than Taz?
Better than Van Damme, yes.
You're bugging.
Than Taz?
You're bugging.
I'll tell you why.
Wow.
Think about it this way.
Taz broke his neck in ECW.
Yeah.
So did
Sabu.
Yeah, you're right.
My thing is, the dude literally ripped his fucking bicep to shreds. And just looked at Fonzie and says, tape this motherfucker
up.
Dude,
Taz wrestled with a broken freaking neck.
Yeah. And
he walked into the emergency room.
Yeah.
He walked with partial paralysis into an emergency room.
I'm just saying.
Why are you still walking? You have a broken neck.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I don't think Sabu gets his just due. I think he's not that he's overlooked.
Oh, yes, he does. Listen to this.
But I, like I said, I mean, maybe not the hardest worker, but I think he's the most.
No, you don't have to pull back.
He's the most underrated.
No, I'm not. I'm saying this because I was never a fan of Sabu.
Yeah.
I never understood the appeal. I do understand the appeal. I just never like. If you take away the steel chair, he's okay. He's not. He doesn't have no. There's no. He doesn't want to tell a story. That's my issue with him.
I don't know. I would almost disagree with that a little bit.
He's had matches. His match with Sandman to the Stairway to Hell match, where it was the ladder match, and then you had to get to the barbed wire. That match was fucking awful.
What about with him? I saw a match with him and Cactus.
Yeah.
That was all right.
I was there for that.
It was all right.
Was that with him as McFoley, or was that Born to Be Wired, wasn't it?
Yeah, Born. It was all right.
I thought it was good.
Man.
Him and Taz that year at Slow Burn, that was fun.
I think he was a much better tag team wrestler. Like for example, him and Van Damme against the Eliminators.
Him and Van Damme against the Dudleys.
Oh
yeah.
But you know what? I think I'm jaded by what I know about him now.
Oh, it's 100%.
I'm not talking about what his personal life. I'm just talking about him as a talent.
As a talent, yeah.
As a talent,
I'm just jaded because he's a jerk.
No, as a talent, he is not all that in a bag of chips.
Matt says Jay's right. No one worked harder than botching and Sabu.
Well, yes. but he's like the Brett Favre of wrestling.
I love it.
He could be the Brett Favre of wrestling. He's
Brett
a gunslinger.
Favre fucking ruined me in 2009. Yeah. Vikings and Saints.
You know, he could be the Brett Favre.
If Brett Favre can fuck up a big game, amazing quarterback. You put him in a big game, he fucks it up. That's Sabu. You put Sabu in the big dance, he's going to step on some toes.
In 2009, Favre looks so pitiful with his arm all deflated.
Fuck him, because he ruined my fucking Vikings.
You love him.
Tomorrow, they're beating San Francisco.
My buddy said it the other day. Brett Favre's one of the best quarterbacks ever.
So you think Vikings are going to win the Super Bowl?
No, I think the Vikings are going to go to the Super Bowl.
You don't think they're going to win it?
No, Baltimore's winning the Super Bowl this year.
You're bugging.
Okay, we'll see.
I think the Vikings are going to win it.
I would love the Vikings to win it.
I think it's time.
Your word to God's ears, kid.
Yeah. Haven't you heard? I am God.
No, easy, kid. Easy. Let's finish this up, JJ. I got to work.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
But this match was good. I mean, once again, there was quite a few botches, but it wasn't their best singles match, but...
No, I think the earlier matches were much
better. Much better.
It was my favorite match of the night.
You're bugging.
Even though the next match was amazing.
Yeah, I was just going to say the next match.
I just thought that Van Damme carried Sabu a little more at this. I mean, just the story was so cool. Cut it right down the middle.
Yeah.
I think Fonzie's role in this whole thing heightened me.
Yeah.
Watching it up to that feud. That's why I think I liked the match the most. I'm not saying it was better than the next match. For me, it was my favorite match. I think the best match of the night was the next match, but my favorite match of the night was Van Damme and Sabu.
The tag team match was really good.
I really loved that match.
Well, I know. My fellow gypsies in this match, so of course you got it.
Now, how good was Francine, man?
As
Dawn Marie. Holy shit. I just want to eat stuff out of their asses.
I'm an asshole. I was not a fan of Francine at this time, but as she got older,
she got better looking.
She got much better looking.
She's better looking now.
Yeah.
Like my, was it Brielle was like, oh my God, who is that? I was like, oh, that's Francine. I was like, wow, she's good
looking. Notice how Jay volunteered first to run over to her. I'll do it.
Yeah.
It's okay, Jay.
Dude, I'm telling you, she is like a nice glass of wine.
Yeah.
She got better.
I'm
telling you, she got better with age, man.
Yeah. And like I said, even here, like she was. She was like the eye candy or whatever, but like she was super over.
One more point about Sabu, and Pastor Del just brought this up. I have to say it in the chat room. Because I don't know rank for Sabu in ECW, but he meant a ton to the company. When you say ECW, his name comes to mind.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because he's synonymous with the company.
Yeah.
Of course.
He brought that deathmatch shit. Him and Paul Lee basically brought that deathmatch shit to the States.
Yeah.
Hands down. Like, not the hardcore, and then turned it to hardcore and whatever.
Well, my point is the fact that if you take away the hardcore shit, he ain't shit.
He's just a regular.
For example, when he went to WCW in 95, he wasn't shit.
Correct. All right.
And then he went to the E in 2006, he wasn't shit.
Yeah.
Your next match is for the ECW Tag Team Championship. My namesake, the Impact Players, Justin Credible and Lance.
My fellow gypsy. Thank you.
Lance Storm from Calgary.
Alberta,
Canada.
Dramatic pause
against Raven and Tommy Dreamer for the title. Now,
this tag team was so weird, dude.
You know what's funny? And Cyrus was the one who brought this up. I don't know if you guys caught this. He's like, you know, Raven can actually wrestle.
No shit.
But you know what, though? No one. Listen, I'm not a Raven guy. You guys all know this, right?
I'm a Raven guy.
I'm a Raven guy.
I'm not.
I love Raven.
Maybe because he didn't give me an autograph when I wanted it.
Because you're an asshole.
I'm an asshole.
See?
But he's so smart. He's so smart. He was really good in the ring. I don't think anybody gives him enough credit.
He's one of the best psychology guys out there, dude.
Yeah. I think he told a fucking 4-year story that could never have gone down anywhere else.
Yeah.
The way they did it with him and Tommy in ECW was, and just the rotating people he had. He had the Dudleys. He had Stevie Richards. He had Demini. He had Nova. He had all
Beulah,
these.
Beulah McGillicuddy. Beulah.
And he had Kimona Wanalea.
Kimona.
He had Brian Lee. He had fucking the Harris brothers.
He had a lot of guys,
right?
Dude.
And he brought all these people in to kill Tommy Dreamer, and he never killed them. In fact, he actually teamed with Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah.
And when the tag title, and then he jobbed Tommy Dreamer for the title. So, as much as I dislike Raven, you got to give him his props.
Oh, yeah.
You have to give him his props.
I think Raven is probably one of the most underrated workers out there because he never got the props that he deserved.
It's exactly what I just said about Sabu. You cannot steal my heat on that.
I'm sorry, but Raven is the most underrated worker because he never.
He's another one.
I don't think he ever made the money that he was supposed to make. And I mean,
but I wonder how much of that is personal. Listen, especially when he went to the E, like he was just like they did not use him
at
he
all.
He had so much.
People loved him,
even with that gimmick. Like you know, he was the hardcore guy or whatever. Like he was painted with that brush. Like he could have did so much in WWE.
I remember at one point he was going for the European title. I was like, oh man, he's going for the hardcore division. I was going for the European title. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
you all mooks have lost your mind about Brett Favre. Matt Squire says, I'm sorry, Matt, you're out of your mind. First of all, I hate Green Bay.
What? Yeah. Brett Favre? Favre's great.
Favre?
I hate Brett Favre because he was a great quarterback and he used to kill us. But and then he became a Viking. He killed me. He still killed me. So fuck Brett Favre. And Raven was the best runner in ECW. Raven and Dreamer together sounds weird in any context. Exactly. But that's what made it look so... That's what made it so compelling. And then you have the team. Now, the Eliminators are my favorite ECW tag team.
That I know.
Correct, right? We all know this. But the Impact Players might have been the... I mean, you want to say the Dudleys because of the
It's hard to say.
Right? Of the all the championships, but... Just Incredible and Lance Storm, had they started earlier?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they'd be in the conversation.
They would have been the greatest tag team in ECW.
Yes.
I mean, first off, Just Incredible is trained by the Hearts as well, yeah. just as much as Lance Storm.
Yeah.
So that alone made them really, really good together.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was
a
great dynamic. Though,
I mean, you have Lance Storm, who's the great technical wrestler, and then you have Just Incredible, who's also a brawler.
He was a hybrid.
He
can wrestle too, though.
Yeah.
And I love this tag team. Yeah, and then you have Dawn Marie and Jason in the mix as well, which also made that even better.
Yeah.
I love that tag team, dude.
Yeah, if they would have started circa 1995, 1996.
Oh, forgot it.
It'd be a different conversation.
I think that the Dudleys would have took a back seat. 100%. 100%.
I can 100%,
see it. Because their work rate was so good.
I'm gonna have to probably disagree with you. I love the Impact Players, but I think if Saturn hadn't left for WCW.
Well. The Eliminators.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't want to sound too biased, but I'm comparing them to the Dudleys. Because the Dudleys are the decorated fucking greatest ECW tag team allegedly.
Well, they won
time.
8 times. What I'm saying, I don't Dudleys are not my favorite tag team.
The Eliminators would have been the best tag team, period. You know what? I would go as far as say if Vince gave them a run or WCW gave them a run. You wouldn't be talking about Harlem Heat.
Yeah. No.
You wouldn't be talking about Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys.
Could you imagine if they had put the Eliminators in those TLC matches?
Oh.
Can you imagine Saturn and Cronus? Saturn dropping elbows from the fucking top of the ladders?
Yeah, he was doing that shit 5 years before.
I know.
Fucking...
I remember when he had a broken leg and he did it off the scaffold, that elbow drop.
Yo. Yeah.
Doc and Gordy.
Best promo ever.
Yeah.
Lance Storm is disqualified because of his rat tail haircut. Guess who said that?
Maddie.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But like
good
I said, this was a good match,
and
the story. This is why, once again, ECW was great because like they told the story of Raven coming back, and they won the tag team belts, and like Dream is looking at Raven like, why'd you just do this? And like, and it's told the great story, and it just picked up right where Raven was in WCW for 2 years at that point. You know, it just picked up right where it left off.
And I love that Heyman was making Just Incredible as his next...
Absolutely.
Because he was
his next Raven.
Yeah. Because Just Incredible was like such a dick. Good heel. And I was... When I saw this, I was like, man, this guy's going to be money, dude.
Yeah.
Do you think... And I was going to ask this... I was going to ask this question before we got into the match, but I forgot to ask it. Do you think the booking guys should have swapped the next match and should have made this the main event?
I think they should never put Spike Dudley in the main event. I'll tell you right now.
Well, that's besides the point. But what's up, Otto?
I think they definitely, looking back on it now, they should have swapped it. Because as a main event, it just fell flat. I thought it was a good match.
I think
Briel said, move in, we can all see your meat claw. that you call a hand. That's enough for us. He's doing us a favor, Matt said. What's up, Otto? Otto, of course, comes in. Otto's a big ECW.
I'm going to disagree with both of you. I think the main event should have been Rob and Sabu, because that was Sabu's
ooh,
last match.
Yeah.
That was his last match,
yeah, because
right?
If he lost, he was going to leave the company. That was the last match for him in ECW.
Oh, wow.
That should have been the main event. I think I think you should leave the tag team title match where it's at and just swap Rob and Sabu with Spike Dudley and Mike Awesome.
Yeah.
And that shows, you know what that showed me? If you had done that, that would show that the television title meant more than the world heavyweight title. And that's what Paul Heyman was striving for that Rob Van Dam, Mike Awesome match that he wanted to do, but unfortunately,
and that would have been a way to that's a great point. That would have been a way to do that.
I know. Thanks.
I thought it. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So your main event was for the ECW Heavyweight Championship. The champ Mike Awesome defending against Spike Dudley.
He fucked up Spike Dudley.
Now the storyline
so
here is Spike had a girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. Who was that?
Yeah, I
forgot her name. I should have.
It definitely
up,
wasn't Molly Holly. That's
I
no,
thought it was
Molly
Chastity,
Holly.
But it wasn't,
no, it wasn't
her
Chastity,
either.
Yeah,
another
dish rag.
Yeah,
but Mike Awesome jumped her and
punched her teeth
out. Punched
that's
her teeth
awesome.
Out. But then it Spike Dudley's like, I beat everybody else up. Like, I'm going to beat you up now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
and then Paul Heyman's like, oh, we're going to do a better promo. And he's like, this is real, Paul. Get the fuck out of here. I'm going to fuck up.
Yeah.
Mike calls him up. And I was like, oh, here we go. Yeah.
You know what? To his credit, he made the best of his gimmick.
Yeah, he did.
He took an ass kick.
And it was funny because I was going to say it to this guy. I didn't realize it was such Sabu hate here. But who took the more, like the worst bumps? Spike Dudley or Sabu?
During his pay-per-view?
In Korea.
Oh, wow. That's...
If you wanted to have somebody thrown around, it was definitely Spike Dudley.
Oh, my God.
Look what happened with Bam Bam and him.
Yeah.
He threw him into the crowd.
Every person between the Dudleys, Taz, Mike Awesome, Bam Bam Bigelow, 911, even the guy from the FBI, every big man in ECW tossed around Spike Dudley. Yeah.
And he would go to the WWE.
And he would volunteer it. He would want these big dudes to beat him up. That was his whole gimmick.
And it made him a star.
It absolutely did.
Yeah. And then, you know what was my favorite spot that Spike used to do? When he would go on Bubba's chest.
Yes.
Drop down and do the Hurricane Rana.
Oh, yeah. He would run.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. That I do like the acid drop.
Yeah.
The way he run, the running.
The running. Dudley dog.
Yeah. It shouldn't have been the main event, but I didn't hate the story of Mike Awesome against Spike Dudley.
Davey and Goliath always works.
Mike Awesome. Merkle
Throwbacks is an advocate.
But then how about that fucking spill that Mike Awesome? He jumps onto the top rope.
Oh my God!
Whatever he was, 290. He jumps into the crowd and he slips on beer or water or whatever. Man, I thought he racked his head on the ground. Like, how did this motherfucker not die?
I tell you, if you watch some of his shit in Japan as Gladiator, holy shit. I got a match with him. He fights in an exploding ring match, right? But the ring is in an Olympic-sized pool. And he fights Mr. Pogo or Pondo, whatever the fuck his name is, and there's a sickle. And he takes the sickle and he just digs a legit sickle in this dude's skull. And you're like... this is not right.
Yeah.
None of this is right, dude.
And also, a fun fact right here. I don't know if you know this, but he is Hulk Hogan's cousin, Mike Awesome.
Is that real?
Yeah.
It's legit.
Brock Lesnar, what Brock Lesnar did to Spike on his debut, and that would be topped. How about that?
Oh, God.
Yo, remember Brock's debut?
With the powerbomb?
Oh. He looked like luggage. He looked like a fucking tie-dye luggage, a suitcase.
I thought that he gave Spike Dudley a concussion.
Why? Yeah, of course.
Oh.
Of course.
My favorite one was...
Bam Bam. That's my favorite.
I was going to say...
Bam Bam throws him into the fucking seventh row.
Undertaker chokeslamming him over the top rope
onto
the floor.
Oh, my God.
One of the damnedest things I've ever seen in my life.
You know, he made a better salary than a substitute teacher, taking bumps from big dudes.
What about when Big Show used to chokeslam Spike Dudley?
All the time.
Oh.
He wanted it that way. The only problem I had with this match... it shouldn't have gone 14 minutes.
Yeah, it was...
He just took... they're taking a beating and bumping, but then there's just... This ain't right,
It was
dude.
Too much. It was just too much.
Yeah.
I mean, that match should have been like 7 minutes. That's it.
Yeah. I agree.
He beat the fuck out of Spike, though.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
You know what's my problem with Mike Awesome? He was a great talent, but he only had great matches with fucking Masato Tanaka.
That's a fair assessment, Chop.
I'm sorry.
That's a fair assessment. His matches with Taz sucked. His matches with Raven sucked. And I love Taz. And Raven should have carried everybody.
And I'll tell you right now, the only reason the match, like, if it wasn't for Masato Tanaka, Mike Awesome wouldn't be where he's at.
Oh, 100%. I agree with that.
That's fair.
And because it's funny, because I was thinking to myself, I was going to ask you guys, like, why wasn't Mike Awesome bigger? Like, and you know, WWE.
He was limited. That's why.
He was everything.
I don't think he was limited. I just think that he couldn't talk on the mic.
Yeah.
But he could work.
So if he had a mouthpiece in WCW, he'd be better?
Yeah.
You think so?
If they gave him that stupid gimmick that they made him,
the fat chick villain?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
He should have been a killer, not a fucking comedy gimmick.
That 70s guy?
Yeah, I don't like that.
You know?
He never won a title in WCW, ever.
I didn't understand... why he wasn't, but it when you say that, like, he only had good matches with Tanaka, that really does, that holds a lot of weight.
I remember when I saw his first match with Masato Tanaka in ECW Heatwave 98, and I was blown away by that match.
Yeah.
And then, it's like, he consistently had good matches with Masato Tanaka.
Mind you,
it was always the same fucking match.
I can't think of a good match other than Mike Awesome.
Masato Tanaka.
Wow.
I mean, his deathmatch stuff, his deathmatch stuff is different. Can't compare it to FMW, but...
You're welcome.
But, yeah, you're right.
You're welcome. Thanks, I know.
It's get out of here.
Yeah.
What are we going to play?
Yeah.
There we went with Prong.
Well, you guys asked for it.
It's yeah, a good song, dude. Man. Finally, you could just see him come out with the cane.
You know why he got the cane, right? Because he beat the shit out of Sandman, and he owned the cane. And that's when Sandman went to fucking
WCW
as Hardcore Hack.
Ah.
What a hack he was.
Anyway,
look, it feels like I gotta get serious.
No, all joking aside, good show tonight.
Yeah.
I had fun. Next week's even gonna be better. This whole month's gonna be dope.
What's gonna be next week, WCW?
No. Next week's gonna be another great.
Yeah, we're doing more Rumble 2000.
That's a good fucking pay-per-view. Yes.
That's one of my favorite pay-per-views I've ever had.
The tables match?
Woo! Yeah. Boy.
Oh, we got a mess here. Look at this barbecue.
Ooh, Lord.
Lord.
Ooh, we living on the end of a lightning bolt.
Could you imagine if Dusty was a preacher?
Blessed be the Lord.
Blessed be.
I don't want to disrespect Pastor.
Oh, no.
Still in the chat room. All right. Patreon.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Pro Wrestling Tees. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the gimmicks, you know them all. Android, Apple, Google Play, we're on Stitcher, we're on Audio Boom, iTunes, go get it.
What did Matty Squires Walkman?
The Fat Chick Thriller, the Impact Player, Mr. Billy Raya, you know it. On behalf of my two goons, the chat room, the networks.
We're not the AOP.
Oh no, that's my goon squad.
Oh, sorry.
Guys, take care of yourself, each other, avoid the clap. Do not get arrested. Do not say the N-word. Don't pick up shitty shifts like Jay does.
What N-word are you talking about? Nice?
No, not that word.
Naughty?
No, man.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was it.
No.
What?
What?
Anyway. I'm out of here, man. Jay, go to work.
Yep, time to go to work.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.